It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, and a great show for you. John C. Dvorak joins Molly Wood, Mark Millian, and Scott Johnson to talk about the week's news. Stay tuned. A great Twit is ahead.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 417, recorded August 4th, 2013. Stop saying ball pit. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files for you automatically and continually for only $59.99 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code TWIT. You'll get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You could share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code TWIT. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that covers your weekly tech news. Our panel, man, I may be the best panel of all time. Of all time. Starting with Molly Wood of Always On and CBS Interactive. And it's so good to see you.
It is really good to be on the show.
Oh, we missed you.
Such awesome people.
I know. What a panel, huh?
Yeah.
So glad you could be here. Also joining us in studio, John C. Dvorak.
That would be me.
Always off television. No, you do No Agenda Show. Channel Dvorak.
Yeah, and I got a new e-book that just came out.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. I'm very happy for you.
Well, thanks. I'm doing one every 2 weeks.
Is this your first book in how long? 2 weeks?
No, I'm going to do one every... I got all these back to... All this back to... I got the vinegar book. I got the cycles
book. Are you going to do the vinegar book?
I think I'm going to do that. It's already written. It's already written.
We'll talk about that. Okay. John is... Many people think he's a tech expert. He's actually a vinegar expert.
I am. This is a fact.
It's a fact. He knows all about the must. The vinegar must.
The vinegar must?
Isn't that
must?
What you call it?
The mother.
Mother.
Yes.
We'll talk about that later. I know you're going to stay tuned for that. Also here from from Bloomberg Business Week.
Say that again.
Hello there to Mark Millian. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Yeah. Good to be here.
You stopped at Phil's. You were coming all the way up here, and you brought your coffee with you.
So I got this in the morning before I got out of the city. The problem was getting out of the city.
Oh,
the traffic
is it bad?
Pretty rough.
Well, I appreciate you making that
effort. Thanks. Thank you.
Molly's going,
me.
Thank Always God fun. I stayed home.
I know. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it? Is it a holiday or something? Is there... Some reason for the try? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Getting over the bridge is
Thank you for
rough,
coming
though.
Up. It's weird. I know it's hard
Happy
for
to be here.
We appreciate it. We know we're in the middle of nowhere. And from Frog Pants Studios, yay, Scott Johnson's also here. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for having me back. Always good to be on Twit.
You know what's cool? Scott has actually carefully arranged his shot so that there is a spot for the lower third.
Yeah. What? I did. I'm trying to chat out, help a brother out.
The hell is that?
That's very funny.
Is that
thinking ahead?
You have a piece of lumber in front of you. What are you?
No, that is actually just a big 30-inch display, but it's just perfectly positioned. I had no idea. That's awesome.
Wait a minute, we're watching you on TV.
No. I do a lot of, along with everything else we have going on over here, I do a lot of video stuff. And this big display is kind of in charge of all that.
I'm a fan of the morning stream.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
John C. Dvorak is not, but that's a topic for a different day.
So this is the morning show that Scott does with a bunch of other people. It's very good.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that show.
You don't even know what it is.
You won't remember. Maybe you will remember, but we had a fun little fake little feud that was going on that I had no idea about, really, but it was more of a fan thing. So it's good to know that you enjoy the show.
If you tune in the morning stream, you could get it at frogpants.com. You'll hear such great episodes as I Can't Feel My Crotch.
It's those guys from 5x5 I don't like.
Spitting on fans. Dan Benjamin was here last week.
I should have been here.
You should have been here.
I could have chewed him out for what they did.
Why? What did he do?
I'm just kidding.
No, we love Dan. You know what? It's a small universe of podcasters, and it's great to have everybody on. And I shouldn't even say podcasters. I include you, Molly Wood. New media types. Because Always On is a real TV show, but it's done on the internet.
Yeah, they got a budget, too.
I still think of it as a podcast in my mind.
Chromecast. Let's start with Chromecast.
Oh, yeah.
Vimeo and Redbox Instant say we're going to Chromecast. HBO Go says we're going to Chromecast. This is the $35 dongle you plug into your HDMI port, and you can tell it to play video back from an app or from a Chrome tab.
Yeah.
And they sold quite a few. You know, we were speculating on how many they sold. They're cheap. Why not? I bought five.
For what reason?
I have that many TVs.
I have five holes to plug.
Yeah, exactly. But I've put one on three TVs in my house, and it's great because last night, for instance, I was thinking I wanted to see a YouTube video, and I started watching it on the Nexus 7, and I said, wait a minute, I can just put it on the TV. And it looks good. The sound went through the speakers and everything, and it really sounded good.
If you got them early enough, you only spent about $11 or $12 per, because you got that Netflix deal where you got 3 months free. So it was pretty much too good to pass up. I bought it the minute they went on sale.
So we're trying to figure out how many they sold. And a guy who works for Amazon told us that he thought Amazon sold out within a day, actually within a few hours. He thought that they had 400,000 to 700,000. So if that's how many Amazon had, Google sold out right away as well. You got to figure they sold at least 500,000 to 1 million.
Probably sold a million. It's cheap.
That sounds about right, too, because that's about the size of kind of the Roku audience. And I think that is the most likely target.
No, I disagree with this. Easier.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get one of these things. I've got a Roku box. I got a WD. I got all these boxes already.
Yeah.
And I don't need another dongle thing to stick in the HDMI ports, which are full.
Yeah, you would buy it instead of a Roku.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I'd buy it instead of a Roku, not with a Roku.
Right.
When this thing came out, I did a little count of how many devices in my home already do some version of what the Chromecast does. And I think I got to like six. I mean, not including laptops and phones and tablets and just like the TV, the Blu-ray player, the TiVo, the Xbox, and the Roku all do that. But I still kind of got suckered into buying one because they all do it in some form, but it's not as easy as it should be.
They all do Netflix. Everything, my refrigerator practically does Netflix. Everything does Netflix. That's the default, right? But what it's doing is a little different. So, for instance, instead of the Netflix interface on my Apple TV or my Roku, I'm using in my opinion, much better, much easier to use Netflix interface on my tablet or my phone, and then saying, yeah, that movie, send it to the TV. That's a better experience. I'm not denying, by the way, if you already have a Roku or an Apple TV, you really don't need this yet. But let's say they do get more than Netflix. Let's say they do, you know, Koosh, the guy who...
Have you ever looked at the lineup of what they have on the Roku box?
Oh, it's thousands of channels of crap. But you know what they don't have?
Crap.
YouTube.
But nobody really wants that. Everybody wants to be sitting around. The only reason that I ended up buying the Chromecast
Slingbox
is
either.
Because what happens is, like, my brother comes over and a bunch of us are hanging out and we all start talking about that YouTube video. Have you seen the blah, blah, blah? And then we crowd around a little tiny phone and we try to watch it and we pass the phone around. And so if we could just go flick to the TV for $35, that seems worth it. I still don't think it's a giant market by any means. Like, everybody's really portrayed it as a huge low-cost disruptor. And I think that remains to be seen, especially because apparently when you flick video from a mobile to the TV, it stays in the mobile resolution and there's no way to change it.
That's not true. It's
kind of a letdown.
That's
no?
actually not true. So if you're using Netflix, it goes to 1080p. And it looks beautiful. Yep. I did YouTube last night, as I said, and it started at the crappy resolution, and YouTube sensed it and went to a high def resolution. It looked gorgeous, 5:1 surround too. So it senses what's going on because it's the Chromecast that's doing the rebroadcast, and it does. Admittedly, I think probably all of these streaming systems, it takes a little while for them to notice that you've changed, but they do adjust.
My wife said we didn't really buy a new dongle; we basically bought a fancy remote. And we did it kind of in a weird way. So you buy the dongle, you plug it in, and now your tablet or your phone becomes this thing that your other dinky remotes for your Apple TV or Roku or whatever never really accomplished, which is a more dynamic sort of send stuff, give stuff back, find feedback. All that kind of stuff didn't exist on your crappy little remote. So you finally got to use an existing device in a way with your TV that you couldn't before, and you did it with this tiny dongle. And that's, if you think of it that way, that's the genius of this thing. I agree with you, Leo. The whole power of this thing is cheap, number one. I mean, it's almost disposable at $34. And number two, the way you interact with this thing is so much better than some crappy remote with a couple of double A's in it.
Well, those remotes are crummy. But I want to say something about the Roku 3, which I think people don't realize.
Awesome.
Because it has a feature. They don't list it. They don't tell you about
it. Headphones in the remote.
Well, there's that. That's a feature. But the feature that really gets me is the universal search.
Oh, really? It searches across all its stuff? I didn't know that.
I know they don't talk about it.
They should mention
that. It's right at the opening. You go, you search for like a movie, and it'll show you all the services that have the movie and all the prices.
You know who else did that? Google TV.
Well, Google
TV. TiVo
will do that too. Huh?
My TiVo kind of does that too. I don't think it shows me the prices.
I think that's the holy grail, though. I agree with you. Because we know, the killing's going to be on somewhere. In fact, this really pissed me off.
You can find it free.
Exactly. I bought it on iTunes, and then I found it free on Netflix or Amazon. I think Netflix. And it was like, oh, crap. I just paid $50 for something I didn't need. And a global search would have solved that.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, here's some numbers. The best we can tell, Roku has sold 3 million units. Most of those units are around $99. You can get a $50 Roku, but I would guess most people are buying the Roku 3 for $100.
That's a good box.
Apple TV, $100, sold 15 million. So total, life of. So that's 18 million. That's a small market out there. It's not a big market.
I think a lot of people don't realize that you can even do this. It's amazing how well it works.
Yeah, only about half of all smart TVs are even hooked up to the internet.
Because they should all be hooked up to the internet.
Apparently, my Momoto X thought I said something that I should pay attention
to. It has things to say. What internet? I'm right here.
I got your internet right here.
It woke. I don't know why it did that. Anyway, it shouldn't have done that.
It did.
My mom bought a brand new TV that does all the stuff you're talking about. She has no idea. It's sitting in the corner. It's not plugged into anything.
Yep.
It's, you know,
more than half of the people who have smart TVs don't even hook it up to the internet, let alone know how to use it. It's the blinking 12 problem. However, I think this Chromecast for geeks is amazing. For cord cutters, you do a cord cutting show on this network, Scott, and I got to think that for frame rate, this is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, having been on frame rate and talked about this all the time, and having been a cord cutter for 5 years now, I think maybe more than that.
How long does it take to cut a cord?
It took a while. I'm still gnawing at it. But no, it's. This is the kind of stuff that interests me. So when other people are hearing about a new show coming to a network or getting excited about a new season of something on HBO, I'm that guy getting excited about a new piece of hardware that let me stream these things.
Yeah, exactly.
And the minute I heard about this, I was like, well, no brainer, even though I've got these other devices, they're all working fine. I really like the interface on the PS3 for Netflix, for example. It's not like I'm lacking in that department for that particular app or whatever, but I'm happy to have new ways to do it. And to me, the power of search is where this needs to get, where this gets crazy. And when that happens, then we're really going to love it.
I agree. And I don't know how you do that with Chromecast because it's kind of not a unified solution. Every app is its own master.
Yeah, I don't think this is even targeted at geeks, though. I think the price is really such a big factor here. $35 for, Netflix has, 40 million subscribers. This potentially opens up that market. I think the mainstream is starting to hear a lot more about Netflix, but they don't have the device to play it on. And $35, this is a perfect birthday gift, Christmas gift. And these will be flying around. These are easy to pick up. If Netflix renews that either a 3-month or a 1-month offer,
that was a good deal.
It's going to be hugely mainstream.
Is anybody noticing that Netflix is losing a lot of their business? A lot of studios are pulling out. They're going to do their own thing.
In fact, Amazon Prime just got Epix, which is going to be a big problem for Netflix. Why do you think they're doing Arrested Development and House of Cards? And Orange is the New Black. They realize they've got to create original, exclusive content. The good news is, if you're Netflix, they estimated in their last quarterly earnings call, they got 600,000 new subscribers to watch Arrested Development. The good news is these special shows are paying for themselves. What was it, Scott? $100 million to make House of Cards? It was very expensive.
$150, something like that. And it looks, I was just talking to somebody about this morning. It looks like a HBO production. It looks like
beautiful.
A big production. Yeah, it's not like they're messing around.
13 Emmy nominations.
Yeah, and I was reading something on The Verge. They were talking about, in terms of like production value, effects value, post-production, cinematography, all this stuff, that they're either on par with what cable's doing or in a lot of cases better than what any networks are doing, mainstream networks are trying to put together. Comparing it to, say, Under the Dome, which is kind of cool and people are into that, but Under the Dome has this weird kind of everyone's too pretty and clean and kind of fake looking kind of quality to it. These guys are digging deep into what people really want, which is, you know, gritty and great looking, and they're pulling it off. I think that's where they're banking everything is original programming. I mean, it's good, great to have a back catalog. It's great to have all this other extra content. But I think original programming is where Netflix ends up, you know, I think that's where they think they end up winning this fight.
I mean, it's a huge promotional vehicle. People will talk about House of Cards. It's up for what, Emmys?
13 Emmys. So imagine the conversation. Arrested Development, they're making it again. Yes, honey, but we need to have Netflix. Oh, what do we do? Well, here's a $35 device, and it gets us 3 months of Netflix, and we can watch House of Cards. That's a pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If you're a big, or Arrested Development, if you're a big Arrested Development.
And nobody's saying, oh, did you hear that Netflix lost the Stars deal? No, I mean, that's not.
Well, but
we just did.
But the, the mainstream really hears about House of Cards. They don't hear about the Stars deal or them losing a few blockbuster movies.
I think they definitely hear about that, but do you think they actually really hear about the $35 little jobby that they can plug into the TV?
A switcheroo.
And then it will make the thing go to the other thing if you switch it from the thing. I mean, versus, oh, I can watch that on my laptop, or my TV does that, or my Xbox does that. I still think Apple TV and Xbox have a stronger, well, they have better brand recognition for one thing. I think Chromecast makes no sense to anybody. I feel like that's so much more likely to sell to people who want to watch YouTube on a TV better.
Right.
Than well, I think that's up to how Netflix. Google plays it, because now it's still early. They don't have the inventory to fill out any sales right now. But if they ramp up the promotional vehicle, I'm not really sure what's in it for Google here, because they can't really be making much margin on
they
this.
They watch everything
that's just it.
You
I feel like,
watch.
I feel like, and I feel like Google will play it exactly the way they play everything else, which is like, release the thing into the world, let it be free, never speak of it again.
Well, that will be interesting.
That's a possibility. But do you think there's any meaning to the fact there's a little microphone in each one of those devices?
There isn't, John. Stop it. But they don't need to, because they're seeing everything you watch. Already, Google Now, when I...
So you're telling me that if you go to Netflix and start watching something, it's going to phone home?
Yeah. Of course it is. Not just to Netflix, to Google.
Yeah. And the NSA.
And let me point out, when I launch my Google Now on my Wi-Fi connected phone, it says, oh, I see you have a TV on this network. What are you watching? And then it asks me to press record, and it will listen to the TV show and tell me the show and then give me more stuff about it. They're very much playing that game, and that's money for Google, absolutely.
Huh.
But I don't – well, do you care? I don't care.
I don't – well, I
– who cares if Google knows what you watch on TV? Unless it's homoerotic stuff. Then I
don't even know what that means.
So I think the play is kind of interesting as a niche play, because the way Chromecast really kind of plays itself is every app developer will put it into an app. So when Amazon Streaming, for instance, puts a Chromecast button, that's going to be huge. When Frog Pants, the morning stream, has a Chromecast button in its app.
Oh, enormous. Game changer.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're gonna have Chromecast buttons in our app. Koosh, the guy who did Clockwork Mod, is working on it for a Twit app. So what happens there is each of these slices starts to say, "Oh, I want it for this reason, for that reason, for this reason." I think that's an interesting market. You're right.
Well,
Google
Mark makes a good point about the way Google does this. They didn't do an ad, you know, on NBC on Tuesday night. They didn't do like an Apple play with this, where they make a bigger deal out of it and spend a bunch of money on that. They literally got up and showed it at a very small conference on their own campus in front of a very small group that was streamed to a bunch of us nerds, and that was your audience. They didn't go further than that. So now, in a way, we're part of their plan. So we start evangelizing it. We start telling people. And then they'll make that decision that Molly's worried about, whether they put it out in the wild and just forget about it, Google TV style, or if they really support it. It's all about us from here on.
Well, their track record says yes to Molly.
But I think it's a new Google, and it's a hardware manufacturer.
It's the same company.
I think the Nexus,
new Google?
Yes. The Nexus 7 is a tablet that kicks butt in that size. There's nothing close, especially for $229. The Moto X, their first Motorola phone as a Google company, is a phenomenal phone.
It's not as good as this.
He's pointing to my HTC One.
Yes, I'm pointing to his HTC One. Which may, if you think this one's
not
so good,
as good means.
I think you should get, you should keep this phone, and you should give me this phone.
Oh, that's his play. That's what he's doing.
I love this screen feature, that the screen just kind of lights up lightly.
So what they did with the Moto X is an AMOLED screen, which you can light up parts of. So if it's been in my pocket for a while and I pull it out, it will light up what time it is, thinking maybe you want to know what time, without me telling it to. And it will also show notifications. And without actually launching the phone, I can swipe the notification. I don't have any, or I would have, I could show you this, but I would swipe the notification. I could read it, put it away. And it does that without turning on the whole screen, because it's AMOLED. It could turn on a little bit of the screen.
Saves battery.
Yeah, the battery life's cool. Excellent so far. It's about 15, 16 hours. Even with heavy use, because I've been, you know, I'm reviewing it for Tuesday and I've been using it like crazy. The best part is, though, is in your pocket, you can talk to it.
Now, you really have a thing about this.
Well, or in the car.
And when you can say, wait, has it got a mouse in your pocket?
More useful in the car. It could be sitting on the seat and I could watch here. I'll do it. Now, I've trained it to use it.
Well, let's make it a noisy car.
Okay. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. I did a stupid thing. Wait a minute. Now, it did it.
I'm driving the crew crazy with the pounding.
I did a stupid thing because I did it.
Sorry.
I did it. You just talk. But hold on.
What?
I have to explain. I did it with a kind of funny cartoon voice, which is a mistake because now I have to do it just so. But go ahead. You guys keep talking and I'll ask it to do something. Go ahead.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Okay, Google Now.
No. It did it. It's in the car. It's in the car. It's not going to be sitting 2 feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, over there.
Put it right here.
Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Now everybody's talking. Okay.
Peas and succotash.
Okay, Google Now.
Sure, it's going to work fine.
Who is Molly Wood?
What?
According to Wikipedia, Molly Kristen Wood is an executive editor at CNET.com and previously a writer for Associated Press, Macoma Journal Magazine, and O'Reilly Media.
Now, I did that with a noisy environment about 4 feet away from me. Are you satisfied
Molly, how glad are you it's not the other Molly Wood?
The stripper.
No, she's not. I wish she were a stripper. She's a full-on porn actress. And I was like, dear God, help us.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, thanks, yes. Google. My blood went cold for a second there. I was like, please don't say porn star. Please don't say porn star. I'm begging you.
Wow.
I think it's
I'm
real.
Sorry. I had no idea. But you're relieved because I didn't know you worked for the AP. I thought that was pretty amazing. I think Google is doing
porn.
I think it's kind
AP.
Of a new Google where you
all
got
exactly.
you got the Nexus 7. You must. I mean, that's amazing, right?
Is it?
Yeah. It really is. $229. Okay. It's a.
So that's your tablet of choice now?
Beautiful tablet.
So you'd recommend that over somebody getting an iPad?
Yeah.
Why?
It's $100 less. It's higher screen res. It's Retina. You can't get a Retina iPad Mini. I'd recommend it over the Mini. I don't know if I'd recommend it over the 10. If you want a 10-inch, I maybe go with a 10-inch iPad. But, boy, the Nexus 7 for $229 is a very compelling product. The point being, Google can make, and we've mentioned this last week, but Google can make products without making any money on it because they make money on the back end, just like Amazon. That makes it very hard for Apple and others to compete with. Samsung and Apple have to make money on the hardware up front.
Hardware is a different game, though, that Google's now getting into it. They're going to have to figure out what they want to do.
You know who else is getting into hardware? Microsoft.
Yeah, but Microsoft has a reason.
How has that worked out for them?
Not so well, but...
Microsoft interestingly pays so much more attention to their hardware than Google ever does, and yet it's wildly unsuccessful.
It's not wildly unsuccessful. These are all designed for the Microsoft rollout of the stores. They're rolling out stores that are up to 100.
Stores are amazing, too.
Have you been to one?
No, because there is no store in the San Francisco Bay Area.
There's one in Corte Madera.
There is one in Corte Madera. I hear a total Apple store clone, actually.
It's a total
it's
clone.
Almost remarkable.
There's one by Stanford.
Yeah, no, they're
right
all
where
clones.
The Apple logo would be is the Windows logo. The
you have to go to the store before you can criticize it.
No, I don't.
So, wait, John, you're saying that the hardware only exists to help support the stores?
That makes no sense.
Their whole orientation is to build out a bunch of stores and do
then
what?
They just want to be a retail company?
They got to have stuff to sell. That's why they're bringing out these products.
Yeah, but it's taken them 2 or 3 years to roll out all those stores.
It's taking too long. I'm not arguing that.
It's taking way too long. And if you can't get anybody excited about the hardware in the first place, they're not going to go to the store to look at the hardware.
Well,
you got to get them in the store in the first place with something kind of interesting.
Well, I'm going down to Corte Madera right now to go to the Microsoft store. Is it
closes? It closes at 6.
Field trip.
Is it across the street from the Apple store? Probably is.
No, it's in the Corte Madera, that one
the
mall.
Other mall.
I don't know.
Is it in the Nordstrom Mall?
I don't know.
That's where the Apple store
is. I haven't been
is.
There myself.
Oh, you neither, huh?
No, I'm going to go.
It's a real drawing card for that mall. Man, they're flocking.
Meanwhile, Samsung actually is popping up little baby stores left and right. Have you seen these? The Samsung Experience stores?
Those are in Best Buy?
Yeah,
they're in Best Buy now. They're in airports. Like, they just seem like they're all over the place.
Well, I think we could draw a conclusion here that software companies and services companies say, we need to make hardware. Hardware companies say we need to have retail outlets. Apple is really the model for all of this, isn't
That's
it?
That's because the Apple per square foot sales Huge. Is the biggest in the world.
Better than Tiffany.
Right. And so Microsoft, if they just do half the business, they'll be making tons of money.
Better than Forever 21.
But they still have to have something in the store that people want to buy. I hate to keep coming
Xbox.
Back to that.
So Xbox,
they're going to sell tons of Xbox.
If they opened
an Xbox store, that would kill.
Yeah, it's in the store.
That's a better brand, isn't it, than the Microsoft brand?
It would be, yeah. They put an entire setup with nothing but Xboxes in there, put the
you know
Xbox
what?
One out
I'd
there.
I'd go to that store.
So in the layout, at least in the Stanford store, they put the Xboxes in the back corner.
Oh,
so you have
you go
to go
through
past
the, whole...
the Windows phones.
Don't look at the surface.
That's a casino methodology.
Yeah.
So they've lost nine.
I want to go to an Xbox store. I'm excited about this. They could sell TVs there too. Like you could have it be a whole sweet home theater kind of store.
Ooh, I like it.
I love it.
They could have all different accessories.
Yeah, there's a lot of Microsoft bashing going on here, ladies and gentlemen.
$900 million they lost on the Windows.
That's not true. I said I would totally love an Xbox store.
On the Surface RT.
I wrote a column about this.
They just took $100 off their Surface Pro, which apparently is not selling well either.
I did the column on this, and I calculated the amount of inventory they had left over. If they would have dumped it like HP did at the proper price for these things, $150, they would have gotten $900 million, exactly what they wrote off.
But remember, they have to make them. It costs money to build them, right?
I'm just saying.
There's a little issue there.
Yes, but they wouldn't
selling
have,
it for a lot less.
They would
less
have lost money
cost.
On the deal, but they wouldn't have had to take a $900 million write-off.
I think they still have to take a write-off for the manufacturing costs. The point is now, just happened today, Surface Pro, the supposedly big dog, also $100 off. Now, that may be to clear out inventory
that's not
for the
enough
next generation.
That's not enough off.
And we've seen in
it's
the...
True.
In the Microsoft quarterly earnings, I think they said they made, $700 to $800 million on Windows Surface hardware. Now, they didn't break it down RT and Pro, but that's nothing. They've sold very few of them.
Let me tell you, the crowd that loves pros, and here's the problem. They're not big enough to be a market, but they're a loud group, and that is artists and illustrators. So I've got back here, you know, a big Wacom I spent way too much money on. We do what we can to do what we do as digital artists, and it's great. But the Surface Pro turned out to be a really comparatively inexpensive way to get a stylus and a tablet and to do your work. And
you went to a cabin, didn't you, with a Surface?
No, it wasn't me. But like my friend, friends who do it, Mike Krahulik at Penny Arcade, for example, is totally sold on
That's
this thing. He uses
yeah.
it for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great for that kind of portability, but some people are just straight up using it and making it their replacement digital art device. Now, that crowd's awesome, and they're loud and outspoken and all that. They are not big enough, and they're the only group that I've heard really positive things about the Pro from, having not used one, I reserve judgment until I go to one of these hot stores that John's talking about. But what the point is that they're finding it some niches hot with this stores. Thing, but those niches aren't big enough to take them to where they want to be or where they have to be.
Microsoft found the same niches with the early tablets, remember? They Microsoft for 10 years flogged tablets, couldn't get anybody to buy them except doctors and, you know, a few narrow... niche uses, but they were very successful there. And then Apple comes along and says, well, wait a minute, reinvents it and finds a market. I wonder. I feel like we're at a very transitional time. And getting back to TV, of course, the big Time Warner CBS kerfuffle. Time Warner says CBS wanted a 600% increase in L.A., Dallas, New York to carry CBS channels. Time Warner said, no, we're going to protect our users and our bottom line. And they pull CBS off. Not only that, to add insult to injury, if you're a Time Warner internet subscriber, you can't go to CBS.com and watch full episodes because CBS blocked it. So this is a nasty fight. And to me, there's no winners here.
There's losers.
The loser is the consumer, right?
Yep.
But... I think it's the battle of the dinosaurs. It's the end of the times for these guys, and they're fighting over the...
Well, that's why they want the more money.
It's almost done. Isn't it? Isn't broadcast almost dead? Isn't even cable...
Decade.
A decade, all right. That's not a long time if you're a broadcaster. We got 10 years left.
Well, it could be 20 years. If you look at what's happened with the Boston Globe, I think that's one of the more interesting stories of the week, where they... So they bought it for $1.1 billion and then turn around and sell it for $70 million, which is almost like the joke. How do you
and
make?
Who did they sell it to?
Although they bought it in stock, so the stock also depreciated quite a bit in value from that billion.
They would have lost the money anyway, in other words.
Well, they did the money disappeared over those years.
It disappeared. So yeah, who owns the Boston Globe now?
Yeah, the guy who owns the Red Sox. He needs a paper to promote his baseball team.
Well, but see, that's the future. That's what newspapers were created for in the first place.
Vanity plays.
And no display ads. They said, look, we know big retailers like Macy's want to buy full-page ads. They broadsheets started printing. Didn't you tell me this?
Maybe.
They started printing in the 18th or 19th century as a vehicle to put some crap in between the ads so they could basically get these ads into people's hands. And that's how the newspaper business was born. And now it's fine.
Well, how
okay,
the modern
plug
newspaper
the Red Sox.
Business, you might say.
Yeah, plug the Red Sox.
Original.
Yeah. Ben Franklin wasn't doing that. I know.
No, he was not.
No.
Buy my kite.
Yeah.
Actually, though,
kite business.
There is the story that Ben Franklin wanted to create the Postal Service because he wanted to give his Philadelphia newspapers quick access to the news before competitors. I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
Totally,
that sounds right.
I am not making this up. This Ben Franklin guy, he was no pushover.
He was a little shady.
He was
shady. That guy.
He
Franklin.
Created a private postal service so he can get the news before the other guy.
Well, there you have
I'm
it.
I'm just saying.
It's interesting. It's like to me, it's like this: that owner got the paper on the cheap. Relatively speaking.
Yep.
And for him, it's not a ton of money. This would be akin to Leo, you or me in the Salt Lake area or anybody who's trying to do media suddenly finding out that the station uptown, some small low band
right.
AM station is up on the block. It used
cheap.
To be $300 million station. Now they're giving it to me for $500K. Well, I would probably be interested. I don't have that kind of cash, but if I did, I'd be interested in picking that up. Why? I don't even know. I'd figure a way to make something out of that, but I feel like that's what this is for him. Anyway,
hey,
who knows what his idea is.
I got an idea. Let's buy a newspaper, guys.
All right.
Just pull our cash. Just do a Kickstarter campaign.
What do you got in your pocket right now?
Well, and he may
well,
be...
if you wait long enough, that's all you're going to need is what's in the pocket.
There was somebody started an Indiegogo terrible. Campaign not so long ago to buy the LA Times.
Oh.
I don't think they quite got the
How much did they say they needed? Millions.
Talk about a paper that's gone down the hill.
Hundreds of millions.
Indiegogo, wow.
Stop doing
this
that.
Guy, get rid of that thing.
Instead, I should call Dwight.
Call Dwight?
I don't know why.
I have to say, although, Leo, you've been positive about the Moto X, it is waging its own campaign.
I don't know what it's doing. Because I trained it. I trained it with a very obscure, droopy dog voice, and for some reason it seems to respond to everything we're saying.
Yeah, it's listening to – it's actually going right into the archives.
Okay, they were looking to raise $660 million.
Yeah, that'll work on Indiegogo.
To buy the
How much did they get?
They ended up raising. They ended up getting pledges for $210,000.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's all right,
not
but they nestle it in between million. Like folk music albums and people's paper mache projects. That's a weird sight.
I think if they wait 2 years, that they can get the Times for that.
And considering, they definitely could, because considering the sale price of the Boston Globe, $660 million is a wildly optimistic valuation on the LA Times.
Yeah, $70
million. Although, to be honest, I think newspapers will still be around as long as networks and broadcast TV. It's just that they're all going to contract. It's going to come down to a few.
Well, that happened.
And then broadcast.
That's already happened.
Hello. Well, but it's still contracting. I mean, they're,
Yeah, there's some point where you disappear to a little point.
I had a New York Times subscription. I had to give up on – I just get Sunday only now, and the digital. It's just too much paper. You get piles and piles of paper. Mm-hmm. You just feel bad about the accumulation of recyclables.
They sell tablet subscriptions.
But, I actually just recently subscribed to the Sunday San Francisco Chronicle because I wanted the newspaper. There is something about the newspaper that I definitely prefer that to reading on a tablet. I hate that. I just don't find that a good way to consume news. And I like the agenda setting of newspapers. I like that the layout kind of drives the perceived importance of the stories. And I like the act of reading it. I think I'm going kind of old school in my old age, though.
Once a week is nice, right? Every day is crazy, but once a week feels something about that is kind of a special. I don't know. It's a weird. It's like sitting down in the sun with your coffee in the morning or something.
There's enough material on a Sunday New York Times to carry you for 2 weeks. I mean, there's lots of reading in there.
Oh, I love it. But you can read it all online, right? I mean, you don't have to get the
I know,
paper.
But there's a lot different because when you get the paper, you can spot things you wouldn't see online and you wouldn't.
No, it makes me sad. 2 years ago, Arthur Sulzberger, who's the chairman and publisher, said, we will stop printing the New York Times sometime in the future. Date TBD, but implication is sooner than later.
Yeah, well.
Even the guy who's in charge of business at the New York Times realizes there's not a lot of time left.
Well, he probably really realizes it.
He knows better. This is, I don't know if you trust Henry Blodgett, but this is Henry Blodgett. He says, we estimate the Times spends $200 million a year on its newsroom and generates about $150 million online revenue. So they're $50 million in the hole on online alone. That's the problem is you can't do, I mean, that's actually a lot of money from online.
That is, that's a pretty big. They're one of the glowing success stories in terms of turning online their digital subscriptions. They were one of the pioneers in that, and it's been very successful.
Yeah, there's some bad news there too, though. The subscriptions on the paywall are declining.
On the digital paywall?
Yeah. I just saw that. Let me see if I can find the numbers.
But you also have to keep in mind that they're still selling newspapers, and the margins on those ads are way higher than digital. So I think they're good for now.
We're in a transitional. Well, I mean, this is what we're talking about.
They can incorporate other media that makes more money as well. I mean, the New York Times has done a really good job of building out video. So they're earning a higher CPM on their online advertising. So they're kind of like subsidizing both businesses, if you will. They've done a clever job, I think, of working the online angle so that they can keep the newspaper afloat a little bit longer.
Yeah. I mean, this is the hardest thing for any company to do is to make the transition from one business to another without cannibalizing the prior business. And so many companies like Kodak, which had a great digital strategy, have not been able to do it. It's a hard thing to do.
Part of that's because other companies are already kicking your trash doing it. So you're trying to transition to a thing that Google's figured out and is making money hand over fist at. And you're just trying to keep your one East Coast newspaper alive. It may be venerable. It may have been around forever. People may see that name and go, wow, that's the name of journalism, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter. They're trying to uproot themselves from this old cemented thing into this thing that someone else is already stealing their lunch with. I don't envy any of them. It's easy to sit back and pontificate and make fun of them or whatever, but holy crap, if you've ever heard, seen an uphill battle, this is it.
Meanwhile, Google has changed the requirements for people who want to stream live on YouTube. If you have 100 subscribers, that's it. If your family subscribes to your YouTube channel, you can stream live now. And that's free, right? You now have the capability to broadcast on YouTube for free. Talk about disintermediation.
Well, it's,
I don't know what their business model is. I guess putting ads on that stuff. We've been thinking about it, but I'm not sure whether Chad Johnson, our producer, because we had this conversation before, and Chad Lamar hosts our This Week in YouTube show, said, nah, don't pay any attention to the rules, because the rules say you can't have embedded ads, which we have, obviously.
Right. And the sort of
Lamar said, oh, forget it. But I don't know if Lamar really speaks for YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that if YouTube wanted it, they'd say, no, look at our rules. But who's watching? Who's moderating?
I've had this situation with the AdWords guys. You can cheat on the rules. Eventually they find it. And eventually somebody just sends you a nasty note. And you have to change it. It's not right away, but it does happen.
Well, we have ads, shows that don't have any ads. We could stream those.
Right. Use those. You're losing money anyway.
See what happens. Yeah.
Why pay for the streaming?
Right. We're going to take a break, put some ads on here. Because this show does have ads, thank goodness. Molly Wood is here from Always On. What are you doing next? What torture test? Are you going to torture this Moto X? Because you can have it.
I'll take it. I'll be happy to take that off your hands for you. The new season launches end of August, so 13th it's back, and then the 20th and is a big back-to-school episode, and then after that we're going to do our first ever TV torture test.
That they're already calling, I've heard, the Red Wedding. So it's very exciting. This is going to be a very exciting episode, and I just have to warn you. No spoilers.
A lot of surprises.
But there'll be a lot of surprises.
If you've read the book, you know what's going to
happen. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. You know what? Hard. Just imagine it exactly like that. That's basically...
John C. Dvorak from NoAgendaShow.com and Channel Dvorak, Mark Millian from Bloomberg Businessweek, and Scott Johnson of Frog Pants Industries. Love it. We are brought to you today by our friends at Carbonite.com, online backup. Backup's so important, and I know every time I do these ads that some of you are listening, sitting there, and you close your ears. See, there's people leaving because they don't want to hear the truth. Come back. Someday you'll lose data, and you'll be sorry. I told you about backup. It happens to everybody. In fact, it doesn't have to be a disaster, a fire, a flood, an earthquake, a tsunami, a giant sinkhole right underneath your business. It could just be human error. You push that button that erases everything. What did you do? You pushed the button! Oh, go to Carbonite.com right now. You could try it out. Not only individuals, and it's $59.99 for an individual per year for everything on your computer. I got to make that clear because it's less than $5 a month. But they also have plans for businesses. And I'll tell you, as bad as it is if you lose your family pictures or your financial records as an individual, imagine what happens if a business loses everything. How quickly would you be able to get back in business if a fire destroyed your shop and you lost your accounts receivable, your client list, your supplier list? It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Carbonite's great. You don't have to delegate an employee to do it or anything. It's automatic. You put it on your computers. It's backing up. And it's always there. You can check it at any time by logging onto your Carbonite account on any other computer or on a smartphone or a tablet. They've got free apps. There's your stuff. In fact, you even have access to it, so it's cloud storage for free. Always one low, flat yearly rate for as much data as you've got. I want you to try it out. You can get 2 weeks free right now if you visit Carbonite.com and use our offer code, simple enough, TWIT, T-W-I-T. You'll get two bonus months with purchase if you do that. Mac or PC? Starts at $59.99 a year. Carbonite.com. Give it a try. Today. Google, it's kind of sad, as long as we're talking about Google. Google Fiber, you know, the gigabit Google, they now say, well, you can't really run a server. You know, that net neutrality thing. Now that we're an internet service provider, maybe that's not so important after all. Broadband Reports has an article that says by Carl Bode saying, you know, it's being overblown. No ISP currently allows you to run a server. On the other hand, many of us are, because if you're running a Slingbox, that's a server.
This stuff is terrible, by the way. Terrible.
What are you eating? Crispy apples?
No, this is the strawberries and bananas.
Well, I'll eat it if you don't want it.
No, it's terrible. You don't, here.
And you know what? Also, it's terrible, and the bag is so small.
Yeah, I get the joke.
Yeah, they don't give you enough.
Are we going to have a snack in a nap?
Apparently it's snack time. If you want to get a juice box, go ahead, Molly.
I know. I didn't know. I should have run and got a little snacky during the ad.
John does that. You know, he jumps up as soon as I start an ad, and he goes and he scrounges.
I don't scrounge.
You're a snorer. Do you know what that is?
Apparently I don't, because I didn't know it relates to grabbing a fruit pack.
Okay, Google now. That's going to get old real fast.
It's already old.
It's going to get old. It's in the future.
Okay, Google now. What's a snorer? Now I'm talking like that. What's a snorer? Now it's too late. It's already got the stupid stuff. Okay, Google
anyway,
now.
Back to your theory.
My theory? Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that on the one hand, Google has been outspoken that nothing should, you know, affect how you use the internet. It should be wide open.
Right. They should
open
not
platform.
Do what they...
And nevertheless, they're telling people who have Google Fiber in Kansas City, and presumably they'll do this in Austin and Provo, you can't run a server. Now, Carl Bode's writing, well, this language is very rarely enforced.
Ha!
Comcast does it because they don't want you to run a mail server.
They don't want you
spam.
Running your...
And well, Google does, and this is the other side of it. Google, like these other guys, offers a business class product that does let you run a server.
Right, that's the idea.
So it's coming to Provo, right? We're the third city. I don't live in Provo. I'm about 20 minutes north of Provo. But I have friends in Provo who have plans, and their plans consist of this. When Google Fiber comes and they get on board, they were going to run a bunch of game servers. They're going to launch
yeah,
a company.
Exactly.
They were going to go crazy with it.
Yeah.
This news has to make them shake just a tiny little bit, right?
I was going to move the entire Twit operation to Austin.
there's an entire sort of like startup economy that now exists in Kansas City just because of Google Fiber that presumably is affected by this. I mean, it's kind of like if Google considers them themselves to be in the ISP business, this is the kind of policy you would assume that they had in place all along. If they are in the kind of marketing about Google Fiber business, then why are you going to put these kind of restrictions right. on it? Why not just sort of let it breathe, see what kind of changes it allows? Because clearly they can afford to do that because they're like nothing but bandwidth if they're going to let people with 100 YouTube subscribers start streaming live. So it feels like a weird reversal. It also feels like it was lazy terms of service writing. Like they just cut and pasted terms of service from some other ISP and then are having to spend all their time in their own forums saying, oh, well, we don't mean commercial. We just mean if you're running a commercial server, but we don't mean Slingbox. We don't mean this. We don't mean that. Like,
come on.
Google, you guys are smart enough to write your own terms right. of service that makes some damn sense.
Right. And I agree with you. It's a real stimulus to the economy if you do this. And isn't, I mean, what is Google's business? What is their model?
Besides, they can choke you off. That's the way I'd do it. Sure, run a server.
We'll choke you off. By the way, the couple just came back. Would you tell them about the Carbonite ad? Okay. don't want you to miss anything. Hey, it's nice to have friends in high places.
Yeah.
So apparently the Apple lost a little battle over the iPhone 4.
This is a very sketchy story.
Well, it's true,
isn't this an international lawsuit or something?
It's the ITC, the International Trade Commission, banned importation of the iPhone 4, the iPhone 3GS, the iPad 2, and the original 3G iPad, saying it... Shut up, Google. Just shut up. I'm not talking to you. because Samsung sued and won a patent.
Right, won.
You know, this is blowback from Apple suing and winning against Samsung's Apple counters. Samsung right. countersue won, and it, as of tomorrow, there would have been no importation of these devices. But fortunately, Apple knows somebody who knows somebody who knows the president.
Yeah,
so they got Obama to veto. The only way this could have been done was veto it.
How can he veto it? Where he doesn't sit on the commission. What is the deal with this?
Well, it's treaties and, you know, it's complicated. It's politics stuff. You wouldn't understand.
I guess not.
It's complicated.
NoAgendaShow.com.
I never have any hope of understanding because I have read the story roughly 75 times and been completely unable to figure out how in the hell Obama could veto this.
Yeah, well, can't figure it out either.
It's not legislation. It's not. It's like a legal ruling. How can he just sort of wade in and be like, ooh, you know what, though? Peeps really dig their iPhones, so we can't be having that.
That's the power of the presidency. It was the United States Trade Agency. The only person powerful enough to overrule it is the president. And the president can, by decree, say, no, we're going to let
him. He's a dictator.
In. Well.
NoAgenda.com.
NoAgendaShow.com.
Oh, sorry.
NoAgendaShow.com. Let's get this straight.
Whoops.
Although SQ Freak in the chat room points out it was an executive agency that made the decision.
Right.
Was it like a U.S. commission, not a court?
It's called the International Trade Commission, but that's just words.
Oh, you mean it's like the World Series?
Yes, exactly.
It's like the internet, how it belongs to the world.
Just so you know, its full name is the United States International Trade Commission.
Ah,
there we go.
Well, that would make sense then.
That should totally be in all those news stories.
I don't know why they don't. You know, I mean, the fact that Samsung won was interesting as well, given that Apple's beat the pants off Samsung in U.S. courts. You almost feel like I could just see maybe you should draw a cartoon, Scott, of the iPhone 4 in an electric chair, and they're about to pull the switch, and a call comes, the warden answers the phone and says, it's the president on the line.
It's there you bad. Go.
It's a very political cartoon, let's keep newspapers alive kind of cartoon.
That's it. Where's her block when we need him, right?
Right.
Oh, you got that. I'm glad. I thought it was going to be me
totally
and John.
I got it. Of course.
How long ago was
we
her
We need to
block?
Get some cartoons from him.
Anytime. You let me know.
Oh! You got
That's
it. Did anyone record that?
That's I'm going to need it for it's evidence. Tape. It's on tape.
So what would you draw for John?
I don't know, whatever he wants. If John wants, Obama standing on a giant pile of bodies telling the iPhone it can come in, whatever you want, man.
Are you still doing Extra Life? Because it seems like you've become a podcaster.
Yeah.
No, it's still, I don't know, people always ask. It's still about half and half of what I do. So, yeah, if you go to myextralife.com, the comic's still there.
Guy who draws all the time, you can't stop.
I put up a joke on Mashable ran one of my strips, and it was a two-part comic that said the difference between iOS users and Android users. And it was a cheap joke, but the iOS user said, oh, this app's 99 cents, done, and hits a button.
Guy over next to him says 99 cents. No way in hell I'm paying for this. And that thing went crazy over there and created a tribal war like I've never seen.
Good man.
On Mashable, just for this little joke.
I think that's actually very poignant. It's exactly the way it is. I've got an Android phone. I've never bought an app. Ever.
Right.
You're part
that's
of the kind problem. Of
what really? I was, that was kind of my theory.
By the way, that's... Not even SwiftKey?
Yeah. Well
that's
worth
like,
it.
SwiftKey is like the only app that I've bought on Android. But not only that,
they gave me credits. They gave me some free credits. I've never used a nickel.
Because most of the apps are free.
Exactly.
By the way.
My point is if John has some controversial content and he's looking for tribal warfare, I've got the tools to make it happen.
Apparently.
So just let me know.
Can I just say that free isn't always free? I bought and played a free game.
Uh-huh.
It cost me $300.
What? No, if you say Candy Crush, we're all going to have to hang out.
I'm not playing Candy Crush. I'm playing The Simpsons Tapped Out. I was. Mm.
Somebody in the chat room keeps saying that we should bring this topic up.
Well, this is I'm a little burned by Electronic Arts. I want you all to do an expose. This actually is a really good example of why freemium is taking over both Android and Apple marketplaces.
Tell us the story.
The game is free, right? And Homer Simpson blew up Springfield. I like The Simpsons. I like the show. I like the characters.
Okay.
You blew up Springfield. You got to rebuild. It's like, Farmville or Wii Rule. It's one of those games. There's no shooting. There's no action. There's no excitement. You just kind of slowly building up this town and buying stuff. Now, unfortunately, you can't play free, but unfortunately, the really good stuff like the giant Springfield sign costs donuts.
Okay, well, that's...
They give you donuts. Every time you level up, you get a donut. The Springfield sign costs 120 donuts. So you end up buying donuts. I am ashamed to admit that I have purchased now 3 boatloads of donuts.
Okay.
At $100 each.
Oh,
that's over a year, okay? But I got all those guys. I have a beautiful Springfield. It's one of the most beautiful Springfields you've ever seen. And they just released the Krusty Land edition. And I had a Krusty Land and I was starting to build my Krusty Land. And then now, all of a sudden, after $300 and uncounted, untold hours building a beautiful Springfield, every time I launch it, it crashes.
Okay, that's...
Well, you want your money back now. That's what I would demand.
I just want my $3.5 million that I've got in Springfield and my 1,400 donuts I still have. I just want the donuts. Just send me 1,400 donuts and we'll call it even.
I think you've lost it.
I find this whole story so endearing because, for one thing, I absolutely adore The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And for you, for all of the things that you could have gotten ripped off on, the fact that it was The Simpsons is really kind of sweet.
Have you ever played Tapped Out?
No, I don't play the game on the phone.
It's, like, it's addictive.
How many
it's a horrible,
games
horrible
are you
thing.
Addicted to?
Just that one.
Oh, is that one was?
Since August of 2012, it's all I do. Sometimes during Twit, I'll be playing Tapped Out. You probably noticed.
So why is it crashing? Did they push out an app update? Or
they pushed out an app update, and I did a dumb thing. Awesome? I think it's my fault, but I don't know. I launched it on one device, built my Krusty Land, and then I went to another device that I hadn't updated and tried to visit my Krusty Land, and after that, nothing. It blows up. If you go visit me, it blows up. If you go visit my town, your
sounds like a bug.
Up.
I would demand my money
your
back.
Town, your Simpsons is too awesome, I guess. Your Springfield, you made
That's
it actually too
exactly
rad.
Exactly what happened. It's too good.
It's unloadable.
It's too beautiful, and it's so big and exciting, it can't load it. So, but the good news
this world of freemium games and this free to play stuff is a topic for an entire show. One of these days, we need to come back on here and we need to talk about how that thing in gaming is just utterly...
Well, it's killing gaming.
Fundamentally changing everything about it. It's crazy.
Because the truth is, it's free. Why not download it and play it?
Yeah.
But that's how I'm going to get you. Because then you say, well, I could buy it. At first you buy like a couple of donuts. Then you're buying... Pretty soon you're buying a dozen, a baker's dozen. Then you're buying a truckload. Then you're buying a carload. Then you're buying a boatload. It's easy.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I promise. So something's wrong with a whole lot of people, they're making
obviously
a ton of money.
Well,
Ralph in the chat room just pointed out that freemium is the reality TV of gaming because at this point, the game makers—that's just such a great quote—and at this point, the game makers they put the barest minimum of effort into the actual game,
right.
the first incarnation of it, and that I think is what's changing it so tragically is that you can't even really have a good game experience until you start spending money. So you're getting ripped off from the first day.
I didn't feel that way.
They have hooks in there, so it's not like... Tapped Out's a really interesting example of this, because Tapped Out uses the assets, voice assets, the talent behind
The Simpsons.
Yeah, you got Homer. Every once in a while, Homer will say on my phone, push notification. And I love that.
Yeah, there's great stuff that's actually Simpsons-based. So if you're a fan of that stuff, they're giving you all you want. And there are a few hooks in there that drive you to keep playing it. And then you spend your money. So I think Molly's right. It has cheapened the entry. And I don't mean cheap like inexpensive. I mean, they've made it kind of garage sale.
But it definitely, definitely also, I mean, the interesting thing to me about it is how it fundamentally understands the psychology of human addiction.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's and there, you know, there's an entire PhD paper to be written on the hooks.
It's a great big Skinner box, says Punter Joe, and I agree with him. You know, they got me. I'm like the rabbit or whatever, pushing the rat, pushing the bar.
Pigeon.
The pigeon. So, Electronic Arts says it's one of their most profitable games. It is now making more for them than any of their console games, their $60 console games. They made $10 million in the month of June, $50 million on this game so far. Profit.
Well, you should be able to get your money back then. You got plenty of money.
But the problem is that they're putting no money into it. I mean, the thing crashes all the time. If you go on the forums, you see many people on my boat. I did get an email from Chinga Kambi of the EA Customer Experience. And I think this is almost like a joke. Thank you for contacting us. I'm sorry to know that your game force closes on any of the device you've tried to access after installing the new Krusty Land update. even that sentence alone is worth $300, don't you think? If the same issue is happening on all the devices and removing reinstalling the application doesn't resolve the issue, it could be a server or an account issue. Duh. So now they say, please provide the following information so that I may escalate your issue to our higher level of support.
Yeah, another Indian.
Now, what they want is they want the UDID of every device I've played it on.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on.
Like, that's going to tell them anything at all.
That's a pain. You got to go get UIDE or UI, whatever it is. UDID. You got to go get apps that even tell you what the hell those numbers are.
Ugh. They know. You know what they know? This is part of the whole thing. Most people will just go, oh, screw it.
Yeah, it's too much work.
So I'm going to do it just to show them.
You should.
I want my donuts, damn it.
Then they'll ask you for more weird stuff.
Oh, yeah, they will. This will be an ongoing saga.
Yeah.
Send us your social security number, your driver's license number.
Exactly. Anyway, and I didn't want to really talk about
it. You an American citizen.
how was Nerdtacular? A great success, I hear.
It was fantastic. Yeah. We had people from where you come from. We had Tom Merritt. We had a bunch of people come and visit. It was awesome. Both NSFW folks were there. We had Brian and Justin there. And it was awesome to have them there and kind of have that twit injection of love and support. But it went really well. We sold out of tickets well in advance. We filled up a resort, this beautiful mountain resort called Snowbird, and just filled it up with fans and had to stand up and talk in front of all these people, and they made me feel at home, and it was awesome. It's a great fan event. People should. If people haven't been and you're fans of remotely of anything I do, it is a worthy thing, and it's one of those conferences that's, I don't know, I feel like it separates itself a little bit because it's more family than fandom. It's really just a bunch of great people hanging out, and it was awesome. I had a really good time.
This is a whole thing now, these like XOXO, these nerd conferences.
Yeah. I mean, I said on Twitter the other day, I believe there is a nerd-themed conference of some sort every 8.2 hours every day.
Yes. I think Twitter alone has convinced me of that. In fact, I'm always like, where the hell are people now? Like, what is the con of the day?
It's true. I follow all you guys on Path, and I see them flying hither and thither. VidCon was just in L.A. That's another Comic-Con before that.
Yeah, there's a Gamescom coming up, a new PAX coming up, Dragon Con, Molly Con, Molly. That's what we need to call yours.
Molly Con.
Oh, I thought somebody already had it.
No.
I thought that porn chick had it.
Get it now before that porn star does.
Yeah, she's going to get a lot. Well, she should pack them in.
She already does, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so, if you think about it.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Plus the kids, man, the kids. So I'm noticing this big influx of vines. I sound like an old man here, but they
keep vining. What's this
all
Vine?
All these Vine meetups with like quote-unquote Vine celebrities and people.
Vine.
Wait a minute. There are Vine celebrities now?
Yeah, there are people with millions of followers just on Vine. You go check their Twitter accounts. They have like 1,100 people following them. But on Vine, they got a million people. They show up in New York. They'll show up at like, I don't know, some central location somewhere in some major city. And hundreds, maybe thousands come and crowd these people. And they make videos all afternoon. It's insane to me.
what they're doing. And I kind of understand it because that's what all these other things are to some degree. But this one's new and weird and scary.
Have you guys seen the ball pit meme on Vine? There's kids across America shooting videos on Vine, going into Walmart and jumping into the ball pits that they carry.
And then you make a Vine out of it.
Yeah, well, people will see one and then repeat it forever. And now you can revine, so people are revining these videos.
If there's anybody who doesn't know, this is one. This is a woman. There you go. That's the video.
It's basically an intentional fail video is what it is.
So you do a search for ball pit?
Ball pit Vine on Twitter. And there's tons of them.
So Vine, for those who don't know, is an iPhone and Android app that is allows you to record merely 6 seconds of video. But you can edit it in camera because you can. It only records video when you press the screen. So you can do, as many as, I don't know. What's the largest number? Like 20 or 30 individual frames? I've seen quite a few frames in 6 seconds.
Well, there's amazing stop motion art and amazing, people are doing some really creative, interesting things. And I think Vine as a platform is pretty neat when you start hearing about
it. It is kind of amazing, isn't it?
Thousands of girls chasing some dude down the street because he's Vine famous is just a weird thing to think about.
Who's Vine famous? Do we have? Is she Vine famous, that woman?
Is Casey Mariah?
Like Vine celebrities, but...
So there are names like Curtis Lepore. It's very close to Laporte, I thought. I was wondering
That's actually my Vine handle. Yeah. My Vine
alter ego.
Oh, yeah, I found a list of five of them. Are these any of the ones you know? Matt Swinsky.
Yep.
Megan Signoli.
Yep.
How long?
Adam Goldberg.
How long before Kmart bans people from making Vine ball pit videos? Or Walmart.
I don't think of something else. They don't,
It'll be something different.
Here's another one.
I don't know. This is interesting, I think, from a tech perspective. But there are two Viners in particular. One is named this Chris Lepore guy, who I don't know what he does. Something with a band, travels a lot, covered in tattoos. Cool guy. Does funny videos. His dog's adorable. He has tons of followers. Over a million followers. There's this other girl. I forget her name. They meet through Vine. Just I don't know how you do that, but you saw each other's videos. You liked each other. So today, they got together in New York, Central Park. Everybody else was told about it. They made out, essentially, in front of everybody and essentially
they'd
said,
never
now
met.
We are now dating. Yeah, this is the first time we've met. They've been communicating on and off, over across the coast. He lives in L.A. She lived in New York. Teenagers. They get together today, and it was like a wedding with thousands of people clapping for him and people revining it up and down. Like, Vine was smelly with this thing, like all day, all you could get were these revines. And you kind of just go, Vine, it's an app, big deal, no big deal. I'm starting to wonder though, like, that's a lot of people with a lot of interest and a big demographic.
There's got to be some way to sell to these people.
It's really interesting too, because it's people who maybe previously would have been on YouTube, but it's so hard to stand out on YouTube now and so hard to get any attention, regardless of whether you're doing something creative or not. I mean, I felt like Vimeo was the outlet for people who were really doing kind of clever artistic stuff. But now there's this whole new platform that kind of no one was on and nobody knew exactly how to use it. So you can create these really attention grabbing things, and it's basically just like a new avenue to celebrity, because honestly, let's admit, like, YouTube is kind of closed unless you're actually already famous.
This has got to be the most transient form of celebrity ever, though, right? I mean,
sure. Oh, yeah, it's not even 15 minutes of fame. It's about six seconds
of fame. I think it's great. There's a lot of creativity on Vine. And I know both my kids love Vine and do a lot of vining of videos. It's easy to do. It's like Twitter. It doesn't take a lot, although if you put a lot of energy into it, it's amazing. Some of the animations and
things. Yeah, it's sort of like blogging when Twitter came along. It's, Twitter, the barrier to entry was so much lower. It kind of opened this entire new platform for
YouTube
you to
worry?
Have funny.
I don't know that they should worry. Some of these people are parlaying Vine popularity into YouTube popularity. So a lot of these guys have started YouTube accounts now, and they're already, they have respectable followings there, and they're growing. I don't think it's so much that, but what Molly said, I think, is prescient to the whole point, which is there's this limited window to grab on to whatever it is. So I have this 8-year-old World of Warcraft podcast that stays number one in that category and has since the day we launched it. Well, that was timing and nobody else was really doing it. And now there are dozens and dozens, but we still kind of stay there. And I think it's because you got in early and you got a name for yourself, and now you're kind of sort of there. I think Vine's already hit that. There's probably a stable of 12 or so people that are hugely popular on there, and now it is all trash from there. And I think YouTube's kind of in that same boat. It's just, I think we're getting smaller and smaller windows of opportunity. People have to jump on these platforms quick, hope that they take off. And if they do, that they're one of the ones, you know, holding the flag at the end of the road.
I think Google should buy these guys out.
No, because it's dead already.
Well, Twitter owns them.
Yeah, Twitter owns them. That's right.
It's a Twitter property. That's
right. Twitter bought them right away. No, Twitter was
before
smart.
The app even came out.
Yeah.
They bought. Mm-hmm. They knew. Found out they what said, they were working gonna, on and they yeah. bought them.
You think
and then
it's
Instagram
dead.
Adds 15-second video, but it's Instagram and it's 15 seconds. Too long.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing. That's why I think Google Plus is not as powerful as Twitter.
I know it does. You could make a 16-second video on Instagram, but for some reason, the fact that there's 15 seconds available killed it. I don't understand it at all. So, Scott, you jumped on Vine very early. In fact, you have a pretty good Vine channel. You do a lot of creative stuff on Vine.
Yeah, I have some fun on there. It's a lot of it. Again, what I end up using it for is kind of what I end up using all these services for. I end up using them to do things for the existing base. So this is a chance for me right. to say, all right, well, here's a new way I'm putting myself out there for all you people who already are there and support me and whatever. This is probably more meaningful content for them. But to go viral on Vine requires like a lot of crazy acrobatics, being willing to do things in crowds with strangers you're not willing to do otherwise. Like I think it's a pretty steep wall to get over to get that kind of fame in there. So I think it's actually a pretty good tool, like most other things like Twitter or like Facebook or whatever, to connect with your audience, to extend that relationship just a little bit more. And that's how I use it. And I think it's a pretty good tool that way. It's all right.
A lot of people, I mean, we got to say, a lot of people, like my kids, just use Vine because they like Vine and share it with their friends. And they're not trying to become celebrities. They're just posting stuff on Vine.
YouTube seems a little less interested in that market now, too.
Oh, they want big business, right? They want
high production value. I mean, they can sell, you know, some high value ads next to those videos. They can't, they're not really interested in the next ball pit meme.
YouTube and Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, we got to stop saying ball pit on the show. Those four, I think, are all vying to become the next NBC, CBS, Fox, and ABC. There's one more. So they're absolutely moving out of casual sharing because it doesn't make money for them. It doesn't allow them to become the next sort of post-broadcast network. You could almost argue that they're in wildly different businesses.
This guy here is showing how to make a bomb.
Yeah, well, don't say that out loud. You got to get the... So this is the August Best of Vines. This is on YouTube. In fact, the best way to consume Vine is to...
Nice doggy.
A good Vine makes you laugh.
So that
it?
Guy, that's Marcus Johns there. He's very
famous?
Popular. Yeah, he's got like 2 million. By the way, it helps if you're 18 to 24 and totally hot. I'm just putting that out there. That's one thing that'll get you famous on Vine.
That helps in life, really.
Yeah.
There are a few good memes, which I like. What's going on here?
Get fresh for the ladies. Oh, hell no!
It's all 6 seconds. That's what's amazing. You know, it's good entertainment.
The 6 second part of it, not to belabor it too much, but that part seems to be the magic. And it's like that one little thing nobody thought would be the good part and turned out to be pivotal. Like that is the most important. It's like saying, I was watching the baseball documentary from Ken Burns, which I've seen 3 times and I freaking love it. And they were talking about how when the decision was
made, by the way, about 600 hours.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. It's 2 hour innings and like, 9 innings.
Yeah.
But anyway, it goes. They were talking about the distance between home plate and first base, and I forgot the finite number that is. But when it was decided to be that, made all the difference in the game.
90 feet, 6 inches is exactly
right. It made all the difference in the game because without it, there'd be none of these double outs. There'd be none of these like stealing bases, none of these exciting moments in baseball that have made the sport what it is. And you just think, man, that one guy with that one decision made all the difference, and I feel like that 6 second thing is.
And you,
pretty much
you used
everything.
The term double out.
Yeah, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah,
double play.
Double play is what I meant.
But it is amazing that 90 feet was exactly right. That you still, after 100 years, people will make it by half a footstep or not. It really, I don't. That is kind of amazing. I often wonder maybe there's the fix is in, but I could be wrong.
The fix is in.
It doesn't seem possible. Wouldn't athletes get better? In every other sport, they get better. but not in baseball.
What? Well, they do if they're all roided up.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying, like, it's not like, you know, you have hitters who get, you know, can run it out every single time. It's never mind. That's dumb.
Do you ever go to a game?
Never. I've never been. I've been to a Microsoft store, though. No.
Probably not the best panel for sports analysis right here.
Hey, I'm a big sports fan.
You know what? I will be my own sports analysis panel. You guys just let me know.
Hey.
But you, just tell me what you need
35
to know.
Also, days, just 35 days to opening day. I'm just saying. Okay. Do you call it opening day in football? What do you call it?
Opening day.
What do you call that? What do you call it? Opening day. Kickoff. Kickoff.
Yes. Kickoff day.
You ever been to a football game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go all the time.
I'm going Thursday.
You know, you actually understand what's going on
no.
out there?
Oh, but okay. I do have, and I'm very excited, a Mexican wrestler mask that's the 49ers. I'm going to wear that to the next game. I don't think I'll get in trouble. Actually, I was thinking of wearing it to a Raiders game. That'd be fun.
Oh.
Ooh.
You'd fit right in.
Fit right in. Hold on a second. We got to do an ad, and then we'll come back with more with this great panel. And John's going to tell us about his e-book.
I'm going to, actually, one of my next e-books is going to be, and by the way, you can go to insidetrackbook.com. Just get a plug in there. But I'm going to do a book on how to do an e-book because there's actually, you can do, I think all these programs.
Kawasaki did one called Ape, author, publisher, e-book or something. It's about making e-books. You should read that before you write one.
I'm going to read that book and steal the best parts. And
so what is this?
Really
Inside Track 2013? This is like your columns?
Yeah.
So you didn't actually have to work to do anything. You just
a bunch of work Word documents. This page and the other page. Most of the work is online stuff.
How much is it?
It's $9.49.
Wow. Shouldn't it be like a buck?
It should be, yeah.
What is the right price for an e-book?
Does it turn dead? This hasn't been fully understood.
Oh, and you're not doing it on Amazon. You're selling it directly.
Yeah. No, Amazon comes up either tomorrow or the next day. I just haven't. I did this first.
Right.
Because the process now.
Because it is Kindle.
Yeah. Well, or also EPUB. Okay. And with your. The model currently, according to all the people that have been studying it, is that you want to make sure you can sell it yourself for the same Amazon price, but you can include the EPUB, which Amazon would never do.
Right. Because that's the open
format.
The
open,
you can put it on your Nook or your Kobo or your Bozo or whatever.
You put it on an iPad.
Oh.
You email it to yourself, open the iPad, email the attachment, then
save it. It's Kindle Books.
It'll save it as an iBook.
Right. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about pressure cookers in a minute.
Which was predicted earlier in the day for all you out there keeping score.
We did. We knew we would. And backpacks. But first, by the way.
The NSA is now listening.
God, I should not have said that. Can we open the back door so they don't break it down? We'll just let them in. Okay. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Audiobooks from the best publisher in the world of audiobooks. You know, I agree that physical media might be going away, but sometimes it's an ebook, but to me it's an audiobook. I love listening. And if you're the kind of person who loves listening, I highly recommend Audible.com. Visit Audible.com and take a look at all the choices, fiction, nonfiction, sexy fiction. They've got kids' books. They've got grown-up books. They've got books of all kind. The Butler. You saw the movie? Or you're going to see the movie? I can't wait to see the movie, but I like to, with Forrest Whitaker, I like to read the book or listen to the book before I see the movie.
You know,
good example.
Schindler's List. If you ever listened to the book and then saw the movie,
yeah.
The book is so much better.
It's often the case. And the movie was great.
Yeah, the movie was great.
It's often the case that, Thomas Keneally's classic Schindler's List is, you can get that right now. And Ben Kingsley narrates it, which would make it great. This is abridged, unfortunately. I wonder if they have an unabridged version of it. A lot of the books now are unabridged. I think they realize that people want to hear every word. When books were being put out in cassette, that's how this whole thing started. They didn't want to give you 50 cassettes.
No.
So they cut them down. But really now, thanks to downloads, automatic, digital downloads, you don't have to worry about the length of the book. So most of Audible books are unabridged. Of course, sometimes the publisher doesn't offer it. But here's what I want you to do. Browse around. Pick a couple of books, not just one. Schindler's List would be a great one.
Garden of the Beasts is a really good book.
I haven't read that. Now, you mentioned that before. What's that about?
It's about the ambassador to Germany from the United States during the 30s. And his exploits, it's nonfiction.
Oh, Eric Larson, he wrote In the White City, which I love.
Right.
This is
a great book. And then what's really cool about it is his daughter was a real pro-Nazi nut. And she ended up, I guess she was a beauty, because she was screwing everybody, including the head of the Gestapo. It's a very intriguing story.
This guy, Eric Larson, kind of specializes in history, but finding unusual periods of history with some, you know, kind of unknown stories.
This is a really interesting story.
Love his stuff. Well, there's a couple, because his other book, Devil in the White City, is about the Chicago World's Fair and a serial murderer. He's also written some others, which I haven't seen. I'll have to check it out. Look it. Go to audible.com. Pick two books. Then go to audible.com/twit2 and get them free, because you'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month, but your first month's free. Get those two books. Listen to them. Cancel in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but I have a feeling you're going to stick around, Audible. I've been a member since 2000, so I have.
You own the place. I wish I did. Shareholder.
Fortunately, they have 100,000 books, so I'm not running out. But you know what? I just got you. You're a philosophy fan. Becker's Denial of Death. I think that's gonna be nice for listening to on the
way. I took Becker's courses. He was at the University of California as a lecturer, and he was extremely popular.
I can't wait to read this. I'm very excited. Also got the new book, that blows the lid off Scientology. I can't remember the name of that, but I'm looking forward to that.
The lid blowing.
Inside Scientology. Thank you. Great stuff. Audible.com/twit2. Get your two books today. I should run out and get my Mexican wrestler's mask.
Lucha Libre.
Yeah, I'm like Mucho Libre, only...
Where for the rest of the show?
Lucho. Yeah.
Nacho.
Nacho. Lucho. Lucho.
Mucho
Libre
more.
Is a whole different
Yeah, mucho.
I'm not... I don't, you know... Kickoff is 35 days off.
Kickoff.
Also, face Leo, off. If you want to sound legit, just start talking about how excited you are that preseason starts this week.
Yes, I know. I'm going to a preseason game on Thursday.
Oh, how exciting.
You know that already.
I'm excited.
Actually,
preseason's boring, but I have to say, last year we saw Colin Kaepernick break away from the crowd and run it in for a touchdown in a preseason game. I said, watch that kid. He's good. That's all I know.
Good call.
Called it.
Turned out. And he was doing that scrambling early on. It was good. It was fun to watch. He will be our quarterback this year. You're a Niners fan, right, Molly? You got to be.
I'm a Packers fan.
Well, guess what? The Niners opening day against the Green Bay Packers. You got to go.
I know.
Yeah.
I would love to go to that one. That'd be a great game.
Yeah.
I play in a fantasy football league that would get almost anybody interested in football. It's called the Bad Quarterback League. And it is.
What do you do?
The best. You pick a team based on its terrible quarterback or ideally roster of quarterbacks. And then the points that you score, it's a total Schadenfreude. Fantasy football league, all the points that you score are related to failures on the part of the quarterback.
Like if he gets arrested, you get a ton of points.
You do, actually. Yeah. You get all these bonus points if they get arrested. You get like 1,000 points if the coach has a press conference to declare confidence in the quarterback. If they shoot somebody. Like, it's pretty.
I want to be in this league. That's great.
It is the most fun thing ever.
So who's your quarterback?
We haven't drafted yet.
Who are you looking at?
But last year, I think I had Arizona last year, and it was just amazing. I was like wire to wire in first place because they had just this unbelievable stable of like 10 awful quarterbacks.
What team was this?
And then the Raiders are always high on the list.
I think the Jets would be a good team to pick.
The Jets are a good
team already. You can see this is a great.
I know.
They always stink.
So I've read this Medium piece, medium.com, by Michelle Catalano. And I was incensed. She tells the story of how she got the terrorism task force came to her house, knocked on the door.
We've researched this out. This story is bogus.
There's more to it, and I'm going to tell you the more to it. She said, I'd researched pressure cookers online. My husband was looking for a backpack. My son was very interested in the Boston bombing, my 20-year-old son spent a lot of time looking at stories. She presumed that somehow the feds had been watching her internet searches and came to her house. They were polite. They were nice. They walked around. They said, can we see your son's bedroom? She said, well, he's asleep right now. They said, that's all right. We don't need to. They petted the dog.
All without a warrant, but that's beside
all without a warrant. But you know what? You know, the feds, Federal Terrorism Task Force shows up at the door and says, can we look around?
Yeah, the Gestapo.
Are you going to say,
kick in the
where's
door.
Your warrant? Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
That's when they come back with the warrant.
Well, fine.
And the dogs.
Then they can go through the place and do what they want. Shoot my dog. They didn't shoot the guy's dog, which I thought was a mistake.
They do, apparently.
They love to shoot dogs.
Loved. Well, dogs are dangerous.
Oh, yeah, those mean old dogs, so you got to shoot them.
A lot of dogs get killed. But, see, you don't have to investigate that. That's just, you know, collateral damage.
It's a dog.
In any event, there is a clarification on this. Turns out it wasn't that they were looking at her internet searches. All of this happened, but, in fact, an employer at her husband's previous job noted that he was doing these searches and turned him in, narked him.
Yeah, no, this was a see something, say something moment where they're spying on you at the office with whatever kind of software they have installed in the office computer, and then some busybody jerk-off calls the feds on you, and the next thing you know, you're surrounded by cops. This is a horrible situation. This is actually worse than the other storyline, which was, oh, the feds, you know, they're listening in on everything you do. I think is less fascistic than having your next door neighbor essentially or your coworker turn you in because they didn't like the way you're searching for stuff.
Right.
It's a very disgusting story.
I thought some of this was about them putting stuff up on their Google Plus account. Is that not the case? I thought there was something about them putting things up that were publicly viewable, not private searches or what's
used. Oh, how interesting. I didn't see that, but...
Something like that. Like, some of his posts were on Google Plus and that there was this big...
Does anybody know a good pressure cooker to buy?
Yeah, I do. The Durex. Fantastic product. It's the one Jacques Pepin uses.
I use the French one. What's it?
They make condoms, don't they?
No. This is another company. This is a Swiss pressure cooker. It's Durex, and it's got a long
Durex condoms. You're right. No, I do remember that.
Trojan makes a good crock pot, too.
Trojan's crock pot is amazing.
Yeah.
I have this one. I don't know who makes this one, but that's the one I have.
The Magnum crock pot.
Doesn't that look serious? It's got like the knob
cooking
on the top.
Giant chickens.
It's a little too serious.
Yeah. Well, it can't blow up, but that's what you want. Now, see, just this conversation.
Yeah.
And now if we started talking about backpacks or fertilizer, we could get in trouble.
No, we couldn't.
Well, the latest NSA reveal is something called X Key Score.
Yeah.
And according to this slide, also from our friend Edward Snowden, it reveals that, in fact, the NSA collects everything all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've always assumed that. That's why they're building that big facility in Utah, which actually works as we speak.
By the way, that is literally 3 miles from me, not even that.
How convenient.
Yeah. Oh, so, can you pop on over and recon that for us?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you guys need me to check anything, I can
BuzzFeed and Forbes have each done their own articles where a reporter goes out to that facility, takes pictures, and then they're approached by security and are thrown out.
Yeah. What fun.
Yeah. Photojournalism.
What fun. That's just kind of like baiting the bear.
I know a couple 18-year-old kids that work there literally as guys who sweep. Like, that's their job is to sweep part of the facility or whatever. And they have clearance to get in there. And that somehow makes me feel better about it for I don't know why. Just because they're a couple of schlubs and I know they're idiots and there they are working. And it's not like all just government agents and weird, you know, guys from alien planets that are here checking us out. But... it is a massive, massive facility. It is very hard not to see it from the road. And it seems kind of remote where it's at. And I tell friends about it, and they're like, well, does that make us a target? And I'm like, no. See, I think this actually makes it less of a target from I don't know who would ever target it. But having this not on the East Coast or the West Coast or somewhere like that probably keeps it a little safer or whatever. But I want to know what's going on in there. I want to see these drive arrays. I want to see the guts of this thing, and they're not letting anybody in.
It'd be funny if there's an old Commodore in the middle of the whole thing.
If you look carefully at these slides, what's interesting about them is that they're training slides on how to use.
Yeah, it looks like a damn good tool.
It's a great tool, and it feels like the people who are being trained aren't too bright. It's very jolly. Like, for instance, one of the most common queries is, you guessed it, an email address query. I think, Scott, maybe we should record a training video like McDonald's style. Here's another one. X Key Score parses out everything it thinks is an email address, so don't be fooled by mishits. It's...
Yeah, some guy's a comedian writing this stuff.
Unbelievable.
A lot of the... We get some good external shots of the place and put this video together.
We should do a little training video.
Some of the reporting that came out of this was saying that Snowden, for the most part, just took training documents and information, which in themselves reveal things that a lot of us don't know. But this was like the lowest of the low-level stuff. You just start at the NSA. Here's how it works.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Welcome to the NSA.
So, right. So you're new at the NSA. Here's how to gather information to an extent that will astonish even you on average.
Analysts can monitor Facebook chats. All you have to do is enter the Facebook's username and a date range into a simple search screen. And there it is. I mean, it's you can search for internet browsing activities. They're collecting it all.
Yeah, obviously.
And then you've got access to this database. You can just search through it.
It's got to be a ball. If you're a blackmailer, fantastic product.
Why are we interested in HTTP? Well, because nearly everything a typical user does on the internet uses HTTP.
Like visit MySpace.com.
Or email .ru. Wow. This is...
Do you think it's a little weird, though, that I have neighbors who think they're more at risk for their data being sniffed because they live in
closer proximity?
Well, they're closer,
so it's more convenient.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, because the data pumps, you don't need the big ones. You can just a small fish tank data pump. We'll get it right into the NSA.
It makes them so much more interesting because they're right next door.
How about this one? The FBI is apparently using malware to spy on you.
Yeah, that's been going on forever.
Yeah, well, why not? It's another fabulous tool in the federal arsenal.
Like key logging.
Absolutely. Or turning on the microphone in your phone. Using Google's Android software to record conversations. Turn on microphones and laptops without the user knowing. Are you one of those people that routinely tapes over the camera on your computer?
I have usually with gaffer's tape because I think that's classy.
Plus it comes off easy. It doesn't get all sticky.
Right. Yeah. Since 2005, the FBI has been using web bugs that can gather a computer's internet address, list of programs running, and other data. We've got to get Chris Segoyan on, actually. We've been trying to get him. He's a technologist at the ACLU. And he says people should understand local cops are going to be hacking into surveillance targets. So everybody's doing this. A lot of this coming out of DEF CON, which is just completed in Las Vegas. What's scary is how widespread. It's not just the FBI. Maybe you trust the FBI more than you might, the local mall cop.
That one guy, I can't remember his name offhand, but one of the NSA previous whistleblowers, he said, if anything, you don't trust the FBI. He says that was the biggest mistake.
Are they the worst?
Made. Well, according to him.
Yeah.
Actually, in an interesting anecdote about how much things have changed, my neighborhood was going to do like a neighborhood watch camera installation because we've had a bunch of break-ins up here. And they were going to put the head of the neighborhood watch in charge of kind of just keep it funneling in the footage and watching it. And then they went ahead and canceled. They decided that they didn't want to do that because it turns out that the head of our neighborhood watch is a retired FBI agent.
Oh!
And so they said...
He'll be good at it.
Yeah. But that's what's so amazing. And it was a sign of how completely and forever things have changed that the Neighborhood Watch was like, we can't have that guy getting our info.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, really? I mean, 20 or 30 years ago, you would have thought that a guy who was a retired FBI agent, the neighborhood would be like, oh, thank goodness, that's perfect. He's the perfect guy to watch the video and look for bad guys.
I'm surprised that your neighborhood, after the Trayvon Martin case, wants a Neighborhood Watch.
Well, yeah, we might be over that. I think we're just over that as a neighborhood.
You really want somebody, paranoid walking around looking for
somebody to shoot? Yeah.
Crikey.
Northern California, though. We don't have we have a lot of hoodies, but not a lot of guns.
Right.
A lot of hoodies.
It's even worse.
Throw a smoothie.
We need more guns.
All right. Let's take a break. Your old pal Tom Arrett. By the way, when you were on TNT last week, boy, that was fun.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, man.
I'm having a little twit week.
I know. And we should just get you in here. You screw that CBS. You come here. You come work for us. Tom Merritt.
The hell with them and their
millions of dollars. What do you need money for anyway, Molly?
helicopter.
Helicopter. Who needs that? I'll throw you out of a plane if that's what you need, if that's what you want.
Oh, Leo, you say the sweetest things.
You just strap. I'll just strap onto your back, and we could jump out of a plane together.
Mayday,
mayday. You'll have to use your German accent.
I will take care of your shoes personally. Let's see what Tom Merritt has to say about the week ahead. Tommy?
Hey, thanks. Here's a look at what we'll be keeping an eye on for tech news today in the week ahead. Of course, today kicked off Geek Week on YouTube, spotlighting some nerdy, geeky content all week there. Wednesday, August 7th, Groupon has their earnings. AOL has their earnings. LG hosts an event in New York City. And Google Plus Local for iOS will go away. Friday, August 9th, Google is retiring its Latitude location service. So another Google product also goes away. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leah.
Previously on Twit, iPad Today.
The whole knock on the iPad Mini in the first place, and the reason why I don't use it as my everyday iPad is specifically non-Retina. Because I'm so used to my Retina screen on my full-size iPad that I'm just like, that's just what I care about the most.
Twit Live Specials.
Is it always on? Is it always listening to me? Two problems with that. One is, of course, privacy. The other is battery life.
It's not trying to listen to you to figure out what you're doing. It's only keyed off that little phrase there. In a sense, it's like, you know, clicking on a button and turning it on, right?
Ham Nation.
This was also the past weekend of the San Bernardino Microwave Society, where they brought out all of their dish antennas and were ready for the big microwave 10 gigahertz and up test out.
Gizwiz.
You making that ice cream?
My pants fell off. It's
your pants did fall off. Oh my God.
Twit. John is now going to say something cranky after this promo.
I'm supposed to say something cranky.
Hey, he must have known you were going to be here.
Can you see it, that thing?
Wow. What?
I think this is... Yeah.
A macho libre.
I think we found the real Leo.
Lucha Laporte.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So can I? You think I should wear this to the game? Or
yes.
What?
Definitely.
I think you should wear it all the time.
How's your peripheral vision and stuff? Can you see?
Well, let's put it this way. You could sneak up behind me with a knife.
You got none, from what I can tell.
But fortunately, I have a Moto X.
It's not just well, then don't tight go to enough the against game. Your face.
It'll alert you of something any minute now,
can't
I'm
you
sure.
tighten it up in the back?
You can. I haven't tightened the laces
here,
yet.
Let me do that.
No!
Don't go to a Raiders game with no peripheral vision.
Isn't that cool?
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. I wish I had one.
Oh, well, John, don't take it. That's mine. Not for you. What else was I going to do? Oh, the Chinese hacking team that took over the fake water plant. It's not just us. Everybody's doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a trend.
Let me just say it again. Aren't you glad the NSA is out there protecting us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I think they need
to do
this.
I think they should be spying on every American for sure, because God knows what's going on. It's about time somebody cracked down. There you have it.
I like this one. Somebody went into the Edward Snowden Wikipedia page and changed the entry to say he was a traitor. But what they didn't realize is that whenever you modify a Wikipedia page, your IP address is recorded and publicly visible. Turned out, somebody from the U.S. Senate.
Ah!
No.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Well, they don't, you know, you can't say exactly.
Well, you can plug it into that machine there, it'll tell you.
Well, you could say what, you know, what machine they were using, maybe. And I think there's probably, the Senate has one IP address and then uses NAT to.
Maybe.
It was probably a staffer.
Probably.
Yeah. I doubt it was a senator. I don't think they could even know how to use computers.
Schumer just said that
Chuck,
on the.
Chuck Schumer maybe just said.
Yeah, he's just already said it in public.
Yeah.
I'm certain that the feds are going to be knocking on my door any minute now, because during that break, I went to Amazon and ordered myself some gaffer's tape, and then that made me realize that I'm also out of packaging tape, so I ordered that too, and then I realized that that is just a weirdly suspicious order that
did
I just
placed. Did you add
at
a pressure
Amazon.
Cooker to your cart?
No. What else could
not I, even remotely know, suspicious.
You need restraints?
Rope? You should have ordered the book on the Amazon. The book won't be on Amazon.
Some
yet.
Rope would be good.
Anyway, I'm telling you guys that out loud right now, just so the NSA knows.
Because you're paranoid. Welcome to the new United States of America, where Molly can't even buy some tape without getting paranoid.
She's trying to inoculate
without
herself.
Sitting here like, did that tape
thing
look
weird?
Oh, my
God, what am I doing? I've looked at tape and a pressure cooker. And by the way, the Durex one is fantastic.
I looked on yeah. Sweet Home, the Sweet Home review site for best pressure cooker. It's over. It's a good thing I don't have a dog.
Couldn't we do like ants and grasshoppers with this and just everybody go search for these things?
I think we are.
We got nothing then.
I think the whole chat room should go search for pressure cookers.
Yeah, please then the do, whole chat room will be arrested.
How are they going to find them all?
That's the point. Like, let's just overwhelm them.
Yeah, no. What is that called? Ants and grasshoppers?
It's like the old good old
everything I ever
Google
learned
bombing.
Comes from Bug's Life.
Okay.
It's important to remember, if you're the ants, there are less grasshoppers. They look scary and big. We just need to gang up and take over the ants. Or the grasshoppers.
So I'm we're not the ants.
I'm not asking for open rebellion or like, you know, full-on revolution here. I'm just saying. it came to that, just remember.
Just Google bombing, not real bombs, just Google
bombs.
Right.
So Yahoo bought another. Yeah, wow.
Is everybody running Rockmelt on their browser?
When Rockmelt came out like 5 years ago, I downloaded it immediately and installed it because it was a social browser.
We all did.
Yeah. And hooked up. But I didn't even know they were still, like, they didn't go out of business in 6 months.
That's what I thought.
Because nobody.
Well, I remember, so I installed it and then stopped using it like 6 hours later. And then I got an email, I think maybe a year later, saying that they'd had some huge update.
Yes, that's right.
And then I was like, oh my God, there's
I downloaded
here,
it again.
And I think I downloaded the update. Yeah. And then 6 hours later, I stopped using that. And that was the last I heard until Yahoo went and bought them. Why wouldn't they?
So I just want to point out, when I go to the Rockmelt page.
They use the word bestest.
Bestest. Cutest, freshest, weirdest, bestest stuff.
Bestest.
But look, see, Sarah Lane and I and 37 other friends use Rockmelt.
Huh.
All my friends use Rockmelt.
Apparently, they're...
That's what happened. Marissa went to Rockmelt and she saw that her and 1,000 other friends...
All of my friends use Rockmelt.
Oh, my God. Let's buy it. How much? $70 million?
Come on.
If nothing else, she bought some favors.
She could have bought the Boston Globe.
Good point. Is that number right? Did I get that wrong?
Have you noticed Yahoo's moving into newspaper buildings in every city? They're taking over the
Chronicle. They're in the Chronicle building.
They're in the Times building. Square in New York. Yeah.
They think that's humorous.
They want to be the new media
it's
of old media.
Ironic.
Yeah, well, it's
because they're already the old media, ironically.
Oh, Rockmelt had already pivoted. I did not know that.
Mobile first.
They had pivoted.
Desktop pivoted. Second.
They've pivoted.
What was the buying price? I don't see it in this story.
All Things D reports that it was $60 to $70 million. Yahoo.
Yeah, over 50.
Which I am enraged by because honestly, I'm certain that I myself, with my like one semester of Java under my belt, could freaking build something that would be worth $70 million to Yahoo. Yeah. And I'm just going to have to go now because I have to work on that.
It's like $2,000 all of a sudden. That's what this feels like, what you guys are describing.
Why are we not like all writing mobile software? Where did we go wrong?
I don't know. I'm wasting my time. I gotta go, you guys.
Go quickly. Learn iOS development. I'm gonna take a break, and while Molly goes to write an iOS app,
I'm out.
She
I'm
should
out.
Be done in about a half hour.
It's not hard. No. Not hard at all. Yeah, and just but when she needs some buzzwords, social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bestest.
Mobile.
Mobile.
Geolocating.
Is,
but you need the
word
geolocating. Oh, yeah, and I need some hipster bad grammar.
Yeah. Bestest.
And it's like a proto Jules Verne attired mascot guy.
It's the wood.
Steampunk. A little steampunk might be useful.
My co-founder.
Oh, drop a vowel in there.
Here's an angle. It's made of wood.
Molly wood.
It could all be like, you know, by the way, that's one of the selling points of the Moto X. I bet you want this, Molly, that you have a wooden back.
I do. It's beautiful. It is actually quite beautiful. Gorgeous. I really was intrigued by that.
I want that. You want that. We all want wood.
Yes, that's what they say.
Our show today brought to you by GoToMeeting.com, by Citrix, the great folks who do literally the world's number one best-selling, most used online meeting tool, and there's a good reason. But, you know, they don't sit on their laurels.
Duffs.
No, sirree. Citrix, I love Citrix because they're always improving, always innovating. They added HD video conferencing. So now you see, it's always been screen sharing. So you see the page, but you can also see the people you're meeting with. I tell you, it's in many ways better than meeting in person. It's more effective. It's and get this. It works on mobile devices. So you can go to a meeting on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android device. You can even present from an iPad. So you can be anywhere getting the job done. And with summertime and, you know, people on vacation and nobody wants to be at the office. Go down to the pool with the kids, bring your iPad, and still get work done. Go to meeting.com. You could try this free, by the way. When you use our offer code TWIT, you get 30 days free. And all the apps are free, which is, I think, really nice. They could try to make money on that, but they don't. They give those apps away.
Unbelievable.
And if you're, it's also very easy if you're attending a GoToMeeting, like you're a client. Say you want to pitch a client, you don't want to make them jump through hoops. It's very easy. You send them a link in the email. They click the link. If the software is not installed, it installs literally within 30 seconds. It's running. Your client will be kind of blown away by your savvy sophistication, and they're seeing you. You're seeing them. Looks great. Works great.
You know, you're not even reading this. You're just talking.
I use it every day. That's how I know. I
hate to use that word amazing, but I did.
It is amazing. It's the bestest.
Bestest is better.
Out there. It's social. It's mobile. It's GoToMeeting. Try it free. GoToMeeting.com. Use the offer code TWIT. No, I don't ever. You know, they give me copy for all of these.
You don't read copy.
I don't need
to. In fact, I'll get a little inside baseball here. When Leo was at Tech TV and whatever.
I just make stuff up.
They had a prompter, and you'd go on the prompter, and then you'd start reading from the prompter about three lines, and then you'd go way off the prompter, which drives prompter people crazy.
Well, they hate it, but I don't care.
And then you would ramble about one thing or another, just going completely off the prompter, and then you'd jump back on the prompter. It was a funny that you watch it. It was very, very smooth.
Smooth.
It was smooth. Seamless. You're slick.
And that's why I'm not working at KTVU.
You wouldn't stand up. You won't.
Something wrong. Can you believe that?
Something wrong.
Yeah, that and many other reasons.
Yeah, so Channel 2, on the morning show,
yeah, they, by the way, they fired everybody involved except for the one person they should have fired, which is the person who read it out loud.
The woman. Yeah, the news
reader.
So
it was the noon news, and I don't know where they got this, but it was really offensive. I think they're being sued by the Asian American Alliance.
I think they actually ended up dropping the lawsuit. The airline said they were going to sue.
The airline was suing, and they stopped. I think
they stopped, too.
Did you, well, you heard their apology, I assume. That was the worst thing ever. That was worse than the original airing. Oh, yeah, it was just bad. Saying things like, we are sorry, which is fine. But then they went on to say,
but we called
first problem we made is we never sounded these out with our mouths. And we should have done that before we did the thing. I'm like, really? You couldn't read those things? And I mean, I looked at it on the page before I even heard it on YouTube.
I knew where it was going right away.
Ah, come on, man.
The weird thing is, but this is why I don't like prompters. You turn your brain off, and
yeah,
so,
but it's so easy to just read from the.
It's
prompter.
It's so easy, and so I really blame the anchor because as soon as she said, they're reading the names of the pilots, and it's I don't know where they got it, but it said Captain Something Wong.
Yeah.
We Too Low.
Man, it's ridiculous. These names are not Chinese or anything.
Holy
they're just
Fook.
It's ridiculous, and she didn't catch it because she was in the zone.
Some Ting Wong, We Too God. Low, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao.
You have to be completely zoned out. She's thinking about lunch. She's thinking about her laundry. You can't read those and not. The first thing you should say is, oh, I'm so sorry. This is clearly an error.
After the first one, she should have said, wait a minute.
Someone should have been, because that woman is wearing an IFB. Like, even if she's a freaking robot with her brain sucked out, a producer in the back room should have been screaming at her to stop talking.
It was the noon
that
news.
That whole thing is just.
Yeah, but you got there is a moment. Turkey,
they'd had Chipotle. Yeah. They were a little sleepy.
There's a moment. It's just Molly, you'd have to come on. You're in there. You see this disaster waiting to happen, and she goes for it. You're not going to say anything in the IFB. You're going to go, oh, this is the good one.
Let's see if she does it. It's a Ron. It's a Ron. What is the Anchorman? Ron. Hamm,
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy moment.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, in their apology, they claim that they talked to the NTSB, which is the flight authority, and someone on the phone there confirmed the spellings that they had.
Summer intern.
An intern. Yeah,
an intern.
That
which is
guy,
another joke.
That's the guy who went, yeah, that's
he's going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to go, I'm going to get fired for this, but it's worth it.
And then he goes, quick, turn on channel 2. Quick.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, that's their names. Apparently, a Korean news agency, after landing gear failure at a Southwest flight in at LaGuardia, put up a graphic with the pilots' names, Kent Parker Wright and co-captain Wyatt Wooden Workman. Wyatt Wooden Workman. Here, Kent Parker Wright. So, and Captain Wyatt Wouldn't Work, man, blames nose gear failure. So they got back. They got even. I love it. I think it's our turn. Let's go after them.
Yeah, there you go.
Have a shooting war with Korea. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud.
Yeah, you. No, yeah.
This
episode's getting banned in several countries.
In several. So, well, as long as we're going to go down, let's go down in flames. Bradley Manning. Acquitted. Of being a traitor? What was he acquitted
espionage.
Of?
Espionage.
No. He was acquitted on espionage.
He was he was acquitted.
Oh, right. Aiding the enemy.
Aiding the enemy.
He didn't aid the enemy, but he definitely spied on us. And
he was guilty of everything else.
Guilty of everything, and he's probably going to jail for life. But at least it's no longer a capital crime. If you aid the enemy, they can chop your head off or whatever it is they do. And I shouldn't make light of it.
Well, one of the things he got found guilty of is wanton publishing, which is the most interesting one.
That's a crime?
Apparently it isn't, but they just created it with a 2-year minimum sentence.
Wanton publishing.
And wanton publishing is really bad news for the news media.
Well, and this is the point.
Private, like a book company, yeah. Doesn't it?
Private wanton Manning, publishing. Of course.
That's a great idea for a book company.
Wanton publishing.
Yeah, somebody wanton, get the URL.
My new sci-fi novel. Something wrong.
Wanton publishing. Private Manning turned over a big pile of secret documents to WikiLeaks, including some stuff that really needed to be shown into the light. The case of the helicopter pilots shooting missiles at journalists and so forth.
Yeah, and kind of,
and laughing
rudely
about it. In any event, Dan Gilmore writes a good piece in The Guardian in which he says, really, this is the Obama's administration war on leaks and, by extension, the war on investigative reporters who dare to challenge the most secretive government in our lifetime. And he says it has a chilling effect on journalism and on investigative journalism. President Obama has prosecuted more people over the Espionage Act, which was written in 1917, than every president before him combined.
But he's also nasty against anyone who's a whistleblower.
And whistleblowing is that not critical to...
Well, he doesn't think so.
Apparently not.
I mean, that's what this country was founded on.
Yes.
The Fourth Estate exists because the Founding Fathers wanted to have whistleblowers and someone to keep the government in check.
Without a strong press, government can practice unchecked. That's the job of the press. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, but our press is, a wad of 24-hour news networks who suck.
I agree. And, that's why when something really is being done...
The fact that we went from the Sum Ting Wong story to this story tells you all you need to know about the chilling effect on the press, for sure. There's a really good, and I thought surprisingly strongly worded, editorial at the start of this week's Economist talking about liberty's lost decade. And that basically the last 10 years in America have been the liberty's lost decade, and that the Snowden and Manning cases in particular, that while there may be reasonable debate on both sides about the right or wrong of the action, the reactions should make all of America sit up and start talking seriously about what this country still stands for.
I agree. I hate to end on such a depressing note. What can we say that's happy and cheerful?
I know.
Did you say
you shouldn't buy a phone with a wood back because we're supposed to be done with skeuomorphism.
Ball pit is good.
Ball pit?
Also,
ball pit is now good.
The insidetrackbook.com.
There you go. Plug. Hey, can we, Chad, build our own ball pit?
I'm sure.
I think you've already got one here.
It's PVC and elastic, right?
And just a bunch of balls, and they're a buck each.
I mean, they would be very confused when we go to Walmart and buy their ball pit full of balls.
How much for the ball pit? You want a ball? No, I want the whole pit. I want the whole thing.
You want the pit like at McDonald's, that ball pit, right?
No, that's disgusting. Yeah, that's got to be disgusting.
A tall display.
Yeah. Have you ever been in that pit?
No, dude, I know there's a company, a local company, who gets contracted to clean the ball pits at the play places, and those guys have stories that keep me up at night.
I hope they're wearing
hazmat
uniforms. Yeah. Eli, do you let him in those things?
God, no. No, I don't know. No. I want him to.
Are you telling me there's a bunch of.
But I don't want him to get syphilis at McDonald's.
You know what I like to do? I like to, I like to dig in real low right underneath it so they can't see it, and then when they jump in, I go, rah!
You should have that mask on.
No, I don't do that, actually. But those things are disgusting. No, I don't mean that kind of ball pit. I want a Walmart ball pit. Those are much cleaner. Sometimes you find teenagers at the bottom of them.
Well, they were until all those little viners started jumping in them.
This is the strangest meme ever.
It's got venereal disease.
Oh. Yeah, that's the one we don't want.
Venereal?
Venereal.
Punny.
It's pretty good. Write that down.
That guy is Scott Johnson, Frog Pants. You wake up in the morning to him 4 days a week, and you'll never forget it.
That's true.
The morning stream.
Thanks for having me on. Lots of stuff going on right now. People should, if they are interested in what we do for the morning stream, they should check it out Monday through Thursday. It's me and it's Brian Ibbett from Coverville doing a morning show.
By the way, happy birthday, Brian. He just had his birthday. Did you celebrate?
He sure did. He's old like me now. Yeah. Same age, actually, which is funny. But anyway, he and I love that show. I think other people might enjoy it if you haven't heard it. And you can find that and a billion other projects over at frogpants.com.
And, of course, Scott and Tom Merritt host Frame Rate every week on our network right here. What day is it? No?
It's Tuesdays, but I come on guest occasionally, but it's him and Brian Brushwood.
It's that other guy. I confuse you with Schwood. It's the hair.
Schwood and I get confused. That's funny you say that.
They kind of look the same.
The pictures of us from Nerdtacular 2013 this year, sitting next to each other, I look like his older brother. It is really, really weird.
I was actually thinking of Forecast, which you did with Tom, which was a great show.
We still miss that. Tom comes on Wednesdays, though, and does a little tech segment on Wednesdays on the morning stream right before TNT. It's always fun to have him on.
Very good. Not frame rate. I was thinking of Forecast. I apologize. Schwood and Tom do that, though, and it's a great show.
Yep.
Chad's going like this. Yeah, I actually have a video of that.
Why he's got that red hair, because it's very noticeable when he gets activated back there.
No, that's, I think, why he dyed his hair red, so that I wouldn't miss the signals.
Not really red. What color is that, anyway?
It's red. What's the name of it, though? Fire engine red?
This is a nuclear red and blood red mixed together.
Blood red.
Oh, that's red wedding. Too much. I have a video, though. This is what Chad was doing. Where's the video of this? I thought I had a video of you doing this earlier. These are from the Moto 10, Moto X. I'm, by the way, going to do a good review of the Moto X on Tuesday, and before you buy, anybody wants to see it. This is what Chad was doing earlier. he's not on frame. No, he's not on frame rate. That's a meme. That could be a meme.
That's what those KTVU guys should have been doing.
Yeah, something wrong. No! Mark Millian writes at Bloomberg Business Week. It's always a pleasure to have you, Mark.
Always
what's up these days?
Here.
What you up to? Anything you want to plug?
I got a piece coming out tomorrow morning about how Google's unveiling of the Moto X kind of blew up in their face a little bit because it's only coming to America. So they built up a lot of hype for this phone.
It's an American
Europe
phone.
And Asia were...
They're an American company.
They are an American company.
Yeah.
But... when you do these types of launches, like the Samsung and the Apple launches, people expect a global phone. If you're going to build global buzz, they want a global phone.
I didn't really do this story, and we should have, because what was interesting when the Moto X was announced is how upset people were. That's a mid-range phone, and they're charging $200 for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of complaining about the price.
People were very upset. And then, of course, if you're in Australia or England or Asia where you might want it, you can't get it. Motorola's even said, no, we're not going to sell it there.
We don't care.
But why not, do you think?
Well, I talked to Motorola. They said they're going to have a portfolio of devices coming out, and this is the first in a new family. But, one of the things you have to consider is, as I was saying, when you're doing these types of blowout sort of media blitzes that reach across the entire world, you need a device that you can sell around the world.
Do you think they made a mistake? I don't know if they promoted it as heavily. I think a lot of this was leaks and people excited about it.
There were a lot of leaks, and then
they are going to spend $500 million advertising it, which is great.
Yeah. They started the hype machine in May with some advertisements, and they did a big media blitz on Thursday. And it wasn't entirely clear when all of that broke that it is only coming to the Americas.
The only thing really that's to me interesting, and I think it's very interesting, is the always on. Always listening capability.
Always listening.
But don't the droids do that they announced last week as well? I think they have more than one phone that does that. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that's in the new operating system.
Yeah. I love it. I'm a big fan and I like the phone, but I'll have a full review on Tuesday for you. And no, you don't get my HTC One, John C. Dvorak. This is the other really nice phone, though. I really like this.
You have some other phones. You have
the Galaxy S4. I'm less excited about it. Too much junk on it. Is that what you use, Molly, the Galaxy S4?
I use the iPhone 5 and the Galaxy S4, yes.
I feel like Samsung's kind of gone down a bad road of it's like.
You know, I just went to the S4 from the GS4 from the Nexus 4 out of kind of curiosity. I just want to know what it was all about, and I'm not that wild about it. I think it's possibly that I've just OD'd on Samsung's overlay and bloatware.
Yes. Yeah, I think the Google experience Galaxy S4 is probably a better choice. But you should look at the HTC One. I love this.
What's the operating system? 4. What?
This is also 4.2.2. Oh. But if you get the Google Experience one, they're pushing up 4.3 already.
Well, that's what you should get.
So get the Google Experience one. I don't know, because there's stuff in Sense like the camera and the Zoes that I really like. I'm not sure I'd want to give that up. So there. I've rooted this. It's got a different ROM on it, but it's actually a Sense-based ROM with 4.3.
I'm about to start testing. I'm going to test out the Windows phone, actually.
Good for you. The 1120?
I'm going to live with it.
The 1020?
Yeah, the 1020.
Oh, good for you. You know, Andy's got one. Paul Thurrott's got one. Andy Inako from MacBook Weekly. Paul Thurrott from Windows Weekly. And they're taking amazing pictures. They're loving it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about that. I can't believe it doesn't have Instagram. And I think that whole weird Instagram thing, I don't know what the hell they're doing. And I wish they would stop being such a pain in the ass about Windows Phone. But other than that, I think I'll be able to live with it just fine.
I'll tell you exactly what's going on. Behind the scenes, Microsoft and Facebook are going back and forth.
It's got
How
be,
much
yeah.
are you going to pay us, Microsoft?
No, yeah, Microsoft's a part owner of that company. There shouldn't be this going on back
and
forth.
Yeah, they want $1 million. And Microsoft said, we'll give you $500,000.
I don't believe this.
I bet you. Because you know Microsoft's paying other companies to make Foursquare, et cetera, for Windows Phone.
Microsoft and Nokia.
Yeah. Yep. And so you know they went to Instagram immediately and said, how much? And Instagram gave them a number, and they choked and went away.
I'm just not buying that story.
You don't think so? Well, would you dig into it? Investigative reporter John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com.
I don't really care, to be honest, about it. I'm not going to use one of
these phones. I don't care. I don't care.
Fine. I'll look into it.
Thank you, Molly Wood, investigative reporter.
Fancy. I'm mad.
Yeah, of the Wood Company.
The Wood,
the
yes.
Chat room, okay, the chat room is totally named it, guys. Woodster.
Woodster.
The Woodster.
The Woodster. At Molly Wood on the Twitter and Path and everywhere else. And, of course, no, you don't do on Path because nobody does Path. It's
you know,
private.
I stopped doing Path and then a friend alerted me that my fuel band was still updating to Path like every day.
I thought, boy, that Molly Wood's running a lot.
I know. She goes, nobody's on Path except your fuel band. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. And then I tried to, I think I maybe disconnected it, but I'm not totally sure. I don't know.
Well, Veronica and I have really been wondering where you've been, okay? Molly Wood is always on and the new season launches next month. It's exciting.
It starts August 20th. I did a great interview with Sal Khan from Khan Academy because we did a good package on e-learning, and it's
fabulous.
He's
amazing. He deserves all the praise in the world.
At least 40 amazings came out of this show, at least.
It's
maybe
amazing.
50.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon.
Hey,
3
you never
PM.
Signed me off.
I said Channel Dvorak. I said No Agenda Show.
I was out of it. I was reading from the chat room. I was in the zone.
You know what? I forgot to mention the e-book.
InsideTrackBook.com?
That one.
Well, if we're doing plugs, I'm throwing in a Bloomberg.com/GlobalTech.
Yay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is there direct income from you throwing that plug in? No.
I get a salary. trying to continue getting salaries.
And 49 cents every time somebody goes and buys
that. Not that much.
You don't get 100% of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how much does it cost? What's the cost of that?
Of what?
The book.
It costs whatever it costs.
$9.49.
Yes, but then PayPal takes a huge piece of that.
Oh, you're going through PayPal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. They take like 15 cents.
Scott Johnson on Twitter. There's my
Scott Johnson. That's Scott Johnson.
No, seriously, there you go.
That's Scott Johnson.
Well done.
We do the show 3 p.m. Pacific Sundays. You know what that would be? 6 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah.
2300 UTC.
Yeah, what is it in Paris?
God, I don't know.
Well, that's
it's
where
beautiful.
That's where I'd be if I could.
Let's
be.
Let's go right now.
Okay.
At l'atelier de Jean Robuchon awaits.
In the Twit Jet.
I'm going to Le Web in December. Why don't you come to Le Web?
Yeah.
You know what? Loic does this great dinner at Guy Savoy.
Oh, that's a nice
place.
It's
worth coming.
Yeah, it's almost worth going for
that. Worth going for that. You're all invited to
Paris. He doesn't
like
me, that guy. That's the problem.
Loic doesn't like you?
Nah, he thinks I'm a schmuck.
Why would
All right, you guys, my child awaits.
Go! Thank you for joining us. Another Twit is in the Woodster can. Thank you very much.